two, three, four. Turn your lights down, way down low. So turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just.
We haven't even made it to Thanksgiving yet, and one of us wants to start playing Christmas music.
Ho ho ho!
No, not till ho, after ho. not till after we.
Feels good. It tickles my tongue.
We haven't done one of our gobble-offs for years.
I think we should do that this year. Julian,
you have no idea what the heck we're talking about.
So what happens is a listener calls in and they gobble and we record it. And then the next week, we drop their gobbles in at random times during the show, and if they recognize their gobble, they win prizes, which is so funny because then people get very creative with their gobbles.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yes. Gobble, gobble. That's me.
So let's think about that.
That was so much fun.
Okay, well, maybe we'll do it again this year, maybe.
And Thanksgiving is late this year.
Yeah.
2 weeks from tonight, we were talking about this off the air. 2 weeks from tonight is the Magnificent Mile Lights Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we should be here, assuming we can
by
get a...
By Tuesday.
Yes. If we can get a parking place, we'll be here for the fireworks that will happen that night, too.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's going to be fun. A few million of our favorite people right here.
By the way, speaking of fun parties and stuff, we should say happy birthday to Gabe.
Yes.
So Gabe is lurking around the newsroom, and
is he wearing his party hat?
I think he's got his party hat and a cape.
He is wearing a party hat and a cape. Yes.
Okay.
And brightly colored lights. I can.
Oh, good.
I can report that.
Gabe had the most adult post about working on his birthday. Did you read this? When basically he went off on this tangent about how he's just thankful to be working.
Yeah.
So what if it's my birthday, you know?
Because aren't there birthdays when all of us have been out of a job?
That's exactly what he said in his post. He said, there have been those days when I didn't have any money to do anything because I didn't have a job. So, yeah, I'm cool with working on my birthday. That's fine.
He's a good guy.
He is.
Yeah. He works hard, too.
But as I was reading it, I'm thinking, oh, my. He's 42, and he just turned into 62. Because it was just so adult. It really was.
Working with us will do that.
It'll age you, yes.
How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Doing fine. Don't have a party hat on, but, you know.
Well, honestly, I like a party. You know, any excuse for a party. If I had known, I would have. Maybe we'll make it up to him next week because we have.
But you did make chocolate chip cookies.
I did make chocolate chip, but I would have made a cake or something. or a pizza. Oh, no, let's not go there. It's too early to start talking about food. And we just had lumpy cream of rice today. That's it.
But it was good.
It was good because I love lumps in my cream of rice. I know people are going, really? Yeah, and I'm the one that likes the skin on pudding, too.
Actually, I've kind of gotten used to that.
What, the lumps or the skin?
Both.
After 40 years, you're like, okay, yeah. If I got it, okay, yeah. I'll go along with that. Yes. Okay. Does that gross you out, Ron?
No, it doesn't, but it's really not that appetizing either. So
it grossed me out, so thank you for that.
We're here to help.
Seriously, I put down the bowl of cream of rice, which looks a lot like cream of wheat, but because you want gluten-free, it's just rice that's ground up and it's all creamy. But I had made it, and then I covered it, and then when we sat down to eat, I went, oh, there's some good-sized lumps in here. And then I took a bite of one, and I went, oh, yummy. This is so good. Mm-hmm. So as I'm enjoying it, I'm looking at Steve as he's chopping his cream of rice to smooth it out. Oh, it's going to be a long night. I feel it.
It's going to be a fun night. We've got some fun people coming in. We've got Steve Dawson and Diane Christensen coming in. They're going to be performing.
Some live music.
Then a little later, we're going to talk about must-watch TV for November with Jessica Radloff.
Mm-hmm. It's Car Night.
Car Night. Tom Appel will join us. And we're going to take a break. And after the break, an unusual question that had to do with this week's voting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a... What's the matter?
Look at my microphone.
Your microphone is vibrating.
What the heck? Oh, my gosh.
Julian, can you see Johnny's microphone is vibrating? Now, we've had this happen before. Are you feeling the vibe? Is there something going on downstairs?
It's bouncing in front of me.
It is.
They're partying early.
Look at that.
Yeah, the micro stands independently party.
That's weird, because I'm looking at you, and I see this bouncing in front of my... I'm like, whoa, what's going on?
That was just me.
Yes.
An unusual thing that happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not that. That we don't have an answer for.
Right.
So this is a legitimate, we're not sure where to get an answer for something that happened this week. So, okay, so we come to you now with a serious question.
Yes.
There was this voting thing that happened this past week. So... as Johnny and I were voting, we went to the Skokie Courthouse, and we had filled out our ballots in advance.
Right.
Pull up to the courthouse. I stay in the car. Johnny goes in.
You had signed the back of your ballot.
Right.
Saying that it was okay for me to deliver it.
And Johnny goes in and deposits our ballots. After you went through the scanner and everything, and you talked to some people, and they took you right over to where the box. So you put our ballots in the box.
And got our two stickers.
Yep.
And had a nice conversation with the woman that was standing there.
Mm-hmm. So a day or so later, this was prior to the election, I get a notification, because we had both put our email address down on that. I get a notification saying, your ballot has been received.
Mm-hmm. And processed.
Yeah. No, I think that at that point, because it was prior to the... It had been received.
Right.
And it would be counted and blah, blah, blah. As we sit here on Saturday night, we still don't have a notification that Johnny's ballot has been received. She deposited in the box.
Right.
I received the notification. Johnny didn't. We've jumped through all the hoops and tried to track it and see what happened, and it still says, when you track it, still haven't received the ballot. And I've gone to the Cook County Clerk's office, not physically gone, but I mean the website. You can't find any place on there where it says, and if for some reason the ballot that you put in the ballot box hasn't been received, here's what you do. So...
obviously, it's not going to change things,
right.
But I think, what if there were more than just me?
yeah.
that did not have theirs processed. Because when you get your mail-in ballot, the letter comes with an ID that you can go online right. and you can put in your ballot ID number. And it also tells you whether or not you've been processed. And yours has four check marks where it's gone yep. all the way through the process. Yep. And mine is, don't have it yet. Don't know what you're talking about.
And again, same mailing address,
mm-hmm.
same email address,
same
everything.
Person putting both of the ballots into the same box. Very weird.
So my question to the assembled multitude, what do you do to find out about this? Because in checking the Cook County, I forget which...
The clerk's office.
Clerk's office. There's nothing I can find there that says,
and you know,
here's what you do.
I Googled like mad, and I've Googled every variation of what you do if you don't see that yours has been counted, and there's nothing out there.
So if anybody has any information... I think I'm more incensed about this than you are.
I was just like, really, at this point?
No.
But I started thinking about the possibility that maybe there are others that didn't get processed.
And no, we're to those of you that think we're pushing some conspiracy theory, no. This is just a question. What do you do if your ballot you put in the ballot box
Yes.
has not been received and processed.
Okay. A listener suggests from 847, contact your voting location. I guess we could go back over to the courthouse, but the courthouse is not a polling place.
Right. It's a courthouse.
It's a courthouse, yes. So I walk in there and say, hey, let me talk to somebody about voting. They're going to go, lady, you're a little late.
I want to see the judge.
Really? Now? Yeah. I know my ID number by heart. I've put it in the system so yep. many times now. I've gone to that website so many times because I just want to see four check marks pop up that say, in fact, somebody has seen that ballot and
again,
processed it.
At this point, you know, it's not going to make any difference.
No.
But every individual vote should count and be counted.
Yeah.
So
where
do we go? What do we do?
And maybe... Maybe we have historically just assumed that once you put it in the box, they're the ones that told us, oh, we're going to give you this peace of mind by sending you an email and giving you an ID number and all that other good stuff.
And in every past election, we have always received a notification, yes, your ballot has been
right.
received.
Right. And I think if I had dropped it off in a mailbox, in a USPS mailbox, that might concern me more because I would think, well, does that mean mail that was in that box didn't get picked up? You know, what does that mean?
And we've all heard the stories that sadly some mailboxes have been robbed.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons why we decided, no, we're going to take it right to the courthouse and hand deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't even be sure of that, that's...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Skokie... Post office, haven't they moved all their boxes inside for fear of tampering?
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the last time I was there. I thought, well, that's interesting. You can't pull up at night, or maybe you can. We just haven't tried that. Anyway, if you have any insights into what one might do just to feel like there's some closure here, I guess that's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that 312-981-7200, if you have any thoughts,
mm-hmm.
Text or call or whatever. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not going to let this one go.
Okay.
Just that there has to be a way to find out what happened to that ballot.
I'll call Jan Schakowsky's office on Monday. And say, what
That's
do you do?
That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, because a listener says, call your alderman. They should know who to contact. That's Martha in Hammond. Thank you, Martha. I'm not so sure about that.
Anybody else who's listening, did you have, I hope you didn't, but did you have a similar experience? Or did everybody get the notification, we've got the ballot and... things are good.
Yeah.
So, Julian, you're putting on your headphones.
Gwen has a suggestion on line one.
Okay. Let me go to do this. Hi, Gwen. You have a suggestion?
Hi, Gwen.
Yes, and I hope hopefully this will be helpful, give you a peace of mind. Anytime there was some issue, whatever, in my precinct or in my neighborhood, I would contact my precinct office, the alderman's office, give them a call Monday, and let them look into it, where they're very helpful. I'm telling you, it's the alderman's office can give you something.
Well, Gwen, I was just reminded, and you did the same thing I did. Monday is Veterans Day, so there ain't going to be anybody available to talk to on Monday.
Or
on Tuesday. Sure.
Because, you know, this is going to be weighing on everybody's mind, I would say, this whole month.
Yeah.
This is going to, this is a slow candle. So,
well, that's a good way to put it. It's a slow candle.
That's a great phrase. I like that.
Yeah. Thank you, Gwen. Nice talking to you.
Thank you very much, Gwen. And again, if anybody has any suggestions, or if I hope you haven't, but if the same thing has happened to you, did you get it resolved? How? Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts other than contacting your precinct captain, alderman, which we will do on Tuesday?
Yes. Thank you all for reminding us that Monday is Veterans Day, and it falls on the actual Veterans Day, too, on November 11th. We got a whole bunch coming up tonight. We hope that you will stay with us. If you don't, we'll talk about you, and you won't like that, so stay with us here on WGN.
Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Keep it going. That is one of my all-time favorite. In fact, it may be my single favorite Michael Jackson song. And Julian brought it up as a kind of a tribute to Quincy Jones, who was very active in the production of Michael Jackson's Off the Wall album.
All we need is just the sequin glove and the neon green light, and we're good to go.
And I want to bring it up here because I love the bridge about Rock With You. In fact, my only complaint with this record was that they didn't do the bridge twice. Because this thing...
Quincy, what were you thinking?
Man, it doesn't get better than that. Oh, boy.
Quincy Jones was 91 years old.
Yeah.
When he passed away. Yeah, still active.
And Quincy Jones, as I think we may have talked, he goes back to the early days in Chicago with Mercury Records when he was producing people like Leslie Gore.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a picture that surfaced on Facebook just within the past 24 hours. It's a great old picture of Quincy and Leslie Gore in the recording studio together. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Gabe.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And I actually just found out recently that Quincy Jones is from Chicago. I did not know that before.
You know, to be honest with you, when I heard his obituary, I turned to Steve and I said, how did I not know that? That he was from Chicago.
Because Quincy was one of the A&R people at Mercury Records back in the days when Mercury Records was a major part of Chicago recording. They had a they had their own offices. I recorded for Mercury Records. They had an office over on I think it's just past the Leonard House building on Wacker Drive. And it was back in the days of Leslie Gore, Sarah Vaughan, Dinah Washington, Brooke Benton.
Oh,
so they were like a blues label then?
No, it was kind of jazz.
Okay.
In fact, on the old Mercury albums, it was really cool because the back of the albums, they had this whole thing about how the stereophonic and the high fidelity that they used, some of the processes they used. They did a lot of recording at United Studios. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's one of the places I recorded here in Chicago with them.
But you never met Quincy Jones.
Never met Quincy Jones. No, I dealt with David Carroll, who was also one of their A&R people.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy had a long history with Mercury, and I'm trying to remember if it was after Chicago that he segued to the West Coast and started doing a lot of things out there. But boy, you talk about somebody. Well, if you go back to even into Frank Sinatra's catalog, mm-hmm. one of the best live Sinatra albums was recorded in, I think it was in Las Vegas, and it was Sinatra with Count Basie's orchestra, and the arrangements were done by Quincy Jones.
Ooh.
Just a killer album.
The other thing I did not know about him was his middle name was Delight, as in D-E-L-I-G-H-T.
Yeah.
Quincy Delight Jones,
mm-hmm.
which I thought, well, I'd love to know the story behind that.
He went to high school in Chicago?
Yeah. Who knew? He passed away on November 3rd.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, tons of text coming in at 312-981-7200. This one from 708. My daughter and I delivered our ballots to South Suburban College last Sunday. Mine is still saying not received. Don't know about my daughter's.
Hmm.
All right, so that's South Side. I've got to click around here. I walked into my voting place. I dropped it into the box myself, but I have not received an email telling me that it has been processed. That's 708. 847, I mailed my ballot a week and a half ago. It states that MT ballot is en route to the election office. Hmm. Here's one from 224. I hand-delivered my ballot to the mailman on October 29th. No check mark yet. Still in process. And this person goes on to say, the clerk's office just says, verify your email with us. Ballot's going to be counted for 2 weeks after the election. That's from Henry in Evanston. Thanks, Henry. And I kind of suspected that was the case, that somebody's counting them even now.
So we'll give it that two-week timeline, but mm-hmm. we're still going to contact somebody Tuesday and find out what's going on, because it just...
Well, here's another listener from 312 that said it could just be a backlog, and they always do say that they're going to continue counting them. They don't just toss them in the garbage. I'd give it another few days and start the process to track it down. And I think those are all great suggestions. Thank you. It makes me feel a little bit better knowing I'm not the only one, though, because when they both went in there at the same time and had a delightful conversation with the woman who checked to be sure mm-hmm. that you had signed the back of it, and she wanted to know who you were and this and that. And I said, well, he's in the car. And she said, oh, well, that's fine. I just wanted to be sure he signed off on it. And so everything was legit. You know what I need to do? I need to be practicing my breathing. We learned this on Lisa's show the other day.
Yeah, that was a fascinating conversation Lisa was having with John Williams.
And she had an expert on to talk about how to breathe properly.
By the way, pardon me for interrupting you. Say a few prayers. Think a good, several good thoughts for mm-hmm. Lisa's husband.
Yes.
He's had a not good diagnosis.
Yes, a skin cancer diagnosis, and she talked about it the other day. Julian, did you happen to hear her talking about breathing properly?
I must have missed it.
Did you know that if we are breathing and our bellies come in when we breathe in, that we're breathing incorrectly?
Oh, that. Okay, I did catch that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes. Because I'm sure everybody in their car and at home, as we were, started trying to do the, your belly supposed to go out when you're breathing in.
And speaking of Frank Sinatra, somebody mentioned in the context of that conversation that that was one of the breathing techniques that Sinatra learned to do because it allowed him to hold and slide notes longer.
Yes. We'll try it right now. Belly goes out when you're breathing in.
I find it easier to do when I'm sitting than when I'm standing.
Yeah. Because I can feel my belly going out when I'm sitting down. Are you trying it, Julian?
Julian is standing up and trying it.
He has no belly. Bless his heart. I got to feed this
boy. Just to send out for a mail order belly.
I'm all bones.
Just wait till you turn 40. I don't want to see you then.
They told me at 25 my metabolism would slow down.
Well,
5 years later, here I am.
40. Count on it. I just had to look at you to see if you were still trying. Were you able to breathe that way?
I think I was focused on the show too much.
Okay.
And I'm trying to understand what that would do to you as a singer, how that would...
It fills you up with air.
But filling you up, you know, the instinct is just inhale and your abdomen, everything comes in when you're inhaling.
But seriously, if you do it properly, if you breathe in properly and your tummy goes out when you exhale...
Then you burp.
Hopefully that's the sound that's made.
You have to get like a music teacher on the show. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm thinking of all the sounds one could make. But seriously, if you do it correctly, you will find that you have a longer breath that's exhaling because you're now deflating your tummy. I also learned this one en route to looking up more information on how to breathe properly. When you're stressed, you're supposed to open your mouth as wide as you can and say R. But your mouth has to be R. R.
Why?
Because if you say it three times, it's supposed to...
Then you faint.
Yeah, it gets you out of your stress real quick. Like, here's what happens. If you open your mouth wide and you say the letter R with your mouth wide open, you do it three or four times, it activates your parasympathetic nervous system, which immediately calms you down.
Well, my nervous system has wanted to go to Paris for a long time. So
parasympathetic. Oh. All one word, parasympathetic. I had no idea that we had a parasympathetic nervous system, but it's supposed to calm you down. And I wonder if it's just because you're concentrating on, you look ridiculous. It's hard to say R, too, when your mouth is wide open.
Yeah.
You're just looking at me like, I'm not doing that.
I'm thinking of Paul Harvey and his vocal exercises used to be me, me, my mama, whoa.
You know what it kind of sounds like when Johnny does that? It kind of sounds like this.
You'll pay for that. You will pay for that. That is not me.
Worth it.
It is not me. And people will start texting saying, oh, you have the worst laugh. That is Diane Cannon. And our buddy Gino Salamone was interviewing Diane Cannon, and somehow that came out of her mouth.
He told a joke, and she reacted to it. And
yes. Oh, God.
Speaking of Gino, later tonight, you will hear a little Gino. We're not going to talk to him, but he did something that we're going to integrate into one of the conversations we'll have later tonight.
Yes, he's having fun out on the left coast. A listener says, back to Quincy Delight Jones Jr. He was named after his father, Quincy Delight Jones, 1895 to 1971, who was a semi-professional baseball player and carpenter. I did not know that. Well, we're going to take a break. We got a lot coming up tonight.
In fact, when we come back from the break, do you want to do some shout-outs?
Yes, we have 15 states tuned in tonight, and we do appreciate that. And you can get to us throughout the show at 312-981-7200. Back after this on WGN.
Back
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Little shout music from the Beatles I've mentioned before, but that's one of my all-time favorite Beatles tracks because that was recorded at the end of their first recording session with Brian Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just one take. Lennon's voice was just about blown out. No overdubbing, no nothing. Mm-hmm. That's the way the group sounded.
So Julian gets points from you tonight because he chose that song, too.
Yeah.
A little Michael Jackson to make you happy, a little Beatles to make you happy.
Yeah.
I get Diane Cannon? Really? Really?
And your point is?
There's plenty of time. I'll make it up.
Oh, yeah. All right. Shout out time. And as I said, we have lots of states tuned in tonight. And I want to start out with my oldest buddy, Donna, who's listening in Santa Rosa, California.
Hey, Donna.
She and Michael are having supper while they tune in tonight.
Oh.
Yeah. Dan Lewandowski checked in from Wichita Falls, Texas. Stacy's in Algonquin. Terry's in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Jim G's in Wisconsin. Robin's in Dyer, Indiana. Taxi driver Bob is in Deerfield tonight. Yo, Bob. We haven't talked to him forever. Sherry Hanrahan is in rainy Romeoville. George Clemens listening in Augusta, Georgia. Also a listener tuned in from Collegedale, Tennessee, from a 610 area code. Susie Schemmel, Glenn Ellen, Mary Gold, she and her husband are listening in Tinley Park. Louise Palish is tuned in Chicago. Yay! Chicago's represented. Our good friend Chuck Snitchler in Hobart, Indiana. Sandy McComas is in Michigan City, Indiana. Terry Knight's out in Batavia. Tracy is in Savannah, Georgia. That's Tracy Douglas. Donna Pearson is in Grayscale, Illinois. Grayscale.
Where is Grayscale, Illinois?
I don't know. Eric Baum sent us a picture from Wells Beach, Maine. Eric sent us that lovely picture of the leaf change in Wells Beach, Maine.
Yeah.
That
beautiful
got so
stuff.
Many hits from people. They loved it. It was my screensaver for a week. Beverly Ann Goodall is in Highwood, Illinois. Janet Gellert's in Gainesville, Florida. Rita Reiki's in Fort Worth, Texas. Tom Kazmarek is in Highland Park. Diane Kappas in Prospect Heights, Illinois. Jean Jacobson, hey Jean, she's listening on her Sea Crane Radio in Milwaukee. Nancy Hollins is right here in Illinois. Nancy Nosick is listening on her Clock Radio. Jeffrey Welshunt is in Ellens, West Virginia. Sharon Brask Malone is in K-Town. Linda Johnson tuned in. Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory tonight. Thank you, Jan.
Laboratory.
Yes, Jim Smith sent us a lovely picture. Jim, tell us where that is. Norb Rosansky is in Aurora. Ellen Maria is in McHenry County. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru, she made us a cute little graphic for Happy Saturday. Lloyd Moncrief is in Ottawa. Bobby Danos, our buddies out in Sammich, Illinois. Robin Aiken's in Port Charlotte, Florida. Bonnie Pearson is in Grayscale, Illinois. Spelling bad tonight, she says. Bonnie Nelson is listening on her AM radio. Chuck Snitchler, I found you early, but he sent me a picture. Let's see here. I probably should go through these before we sit down.
Do we hear from Panama City Beach tonight? Because we did last week.
Yeah, we did last week. Tom Appel, who will be joining us later on tonight. Lester Clyden. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Brian Lefevre's in Bridgeport. Rich Wade is in Troy, Missouri. Patrice Tintari is in Northwest Indiana. Dave Krimnitzer is in Virginia. Let's see. He says, I will be listening my way home from our friends in Virginia, driving back to Maryland. Thank you for the shout out. Freshly back from Malt Shop Memories Cruise. That sounds like fun. If you like a cruise.
I think that's one of the cruises where some of the 50s and 60s rockers appear.
Which is a great idea, yeah. And I did post some pictures on our drive into work tonight, and Roger Camp likes those pictures, and he's in South Carolina. And Nancy Hollins is in Northbrook, and Linda Obremski's in Plano. And thank you all for tuning in, and if I missed you, I will catch you next week, but it will be late next week.
Yeah, we should mention next week we go from a six-hour shower, shower last week to next week will be an hour and a half show.
Yes.
Because of sports, we won't get on till 12:30, but we'll be here live.
We will be.
And
yes.
Then after that, we're going to scoot out to Munster, Indiana, and hang out with my brother for a couple days.
So a listener from 630 says, thank you for the Diane Cannon laugh. You did not disappoint. Now I can rest in peace. I asked for it last night, and I didn't get it, so I didn't have any sleep. Thanks again, guys. Have a good one. Okay, so now Julian is sending us text.
Light in my darling of crying. The past is gone, the past is gone.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
It's wrong to talk over this song.
It's so good.
It is.
We are more than happy to welcome back Steve Dawson, and this time he has brought his better half.
Ooh,
oh, man. Not the better half.
Diane Christensen.
Diane Christensen. We were just talking about how long it's been since we saw the both of you in studio. Back over at the Tribune Tower, middle of the night.
Yeah.
Your 32-year-old daughter was not even a preteen.
Well,
it's crazy.
And I brought in the CD that you guys were nice enough to let us use, one of your Dolly Varden live in studio cuts. And this came out in 2000.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
do you guys have a copy of that CD?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because you were great.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so that came out really nice. Yeah.
So it's been a minute since we've known these kids.
But you've had a busy summer, Steve.
Very busy, yeah.
You stopped by here, and then you just kind of hit the ground running. And then, Diane, you were able to travel. Where are some of the places you guys
have been? Traveled, we did like a 3,000-mile road trip. We did Columbus, Ohio, Buffalo, Southern Maine. We did
You do house concerts?
House concerts, yeah.
Fun.
It was great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. And you get to do some leaf peeping when you're on the East Coast.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Was it?
Beautiful, yeah.
Nice.
It was beautiful everywhere, yeah.
So now we get you back here to relax a little bit, and then you're going to wrap up the year. You're going to be busy.
Yeah.
We're so knocked out that you're going to be joining Muriel Anderson on her Saturday after Thanksgiving homecoming concert.
Well, we have you to thank for that. I think you suggested us.
Well, she called us and said, you must know someone that would be a nice fit. And we both yelled in the phone, Steve Dawson!
Aww.
And she said, what?
I could be wrong, but I think it was like the week after we did that you joined Muriel on Facebook Mondays with Muriel.
That was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Boy, the technology is wonderful, too.
It's incredible.
You were in Chicago, and she was in Nashville, and you guys could meet each other.
Oh, she was playing along. Yeah, and it was like, I was like, where is those magical sounds coming from? Like,
and there's
super
no time, no delay, no nothing?
It's really improved since even the last 5 years, because when I was teaching online during the pandemic, that was not possible.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And Diane, you are an artist as well as a singer, songwriter.
Yeah, that's my main deal.
You had a show last night, didn't you?
Yes, I had two shows last night. One at Zola Lieberman
you
Gallery.
You kind of like, oh.
I know. Two openings. Zola Lieberman Gallery and at Alma Contemporary Gallery.
So,
and kind of a nutty couple of years for me.
Well, during the pandemic, were you continuing to do your art? Because you have a studio and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Right here in Chicago.
And I had a show at the Cultural Center that got delayed, and they delayed it so long that when it finally ran, they ended up letting it run for 7 months.
Oh!
Called An Instrument in the Shape of a Woman.
It was stunning.
It was a stunning show of me and two other women artists having the whole first floor. We each had a room, and so made animations for that and really large paintings. And then since then, I've had many, many shows all over the place, actually. Marfa, Texas, and Yeah, it's been kind of an insane few years.
Is it Marfa, Texas, where the aliens are?
No, I think you might be thinking of there are lights down there, but
yes,
that are unexplained. But
well, those
it's
are
a
aliens.
Big,
they're definitely aliens. Yeah.
It's a big art.
It's an
community.
Art community. Yeah,
yeah, it's a big.
Wasn't that the title of Doyle Dyke's book, The Lights of Marfa?
Lights of Marfa. Yeah. Another guitarist.
And I got to say, I've seen them. Paula and I went out there and we saw.
And you were changed?
I was confused.
That third eye that you have now.
Yeah, I got these cloven hoofs from it. I don't know. You know.
Now you're freaking me out.
Yeah, no, it was weird. I mean, we were like, what is that?
I did not see them. I went the next night and I did not see them.
Yeah, I went with my sister and, you know.
So when you're doing a show, an art show, in a gallery in Marfa, Texas, you just load all of your artwork up in the car and...
Oh, no. Art movers do it because these are really, really big paintings.
Oh, cool.
And then you're just sending media files for the animations, you know, and so they show them on a screen or a lot of times on a... you know, like projected, you just need a media player, you know.
Mm-hmm. And well, where could listeners see your work in Chicago now?
Right now at Zola Lieberman Gallery. I have a show with a collaborator where we make the pieces together, and it's called, you'll like this, it's called Love to Love You, Baby. And it's myself and Jesse Mott. It opened last night, and it'll run
into
January. It's on Huron.
It's like Huron and Orleans.
Yeah, it's Huron and Orleans.
Love to Love You, Baby.
Love to Love You, Baby.
You realize you put that song now in the jukebox in my head.
Well, I called her and they wanted a title for the show, and she said, well, Love to Love You, Baby. And I was like, okay, great. So that show is up, and then there's a massive show at this Alma Gallery, which this amazing photographer, shout to Mark Balog, who made this book called
You Should Have Him In.
Making Spaces. It's an amazing book of artist spaces. And then that they did a show of 50 of the artists in Chicago whose spaces he photographed. I mean, it's just a gorgeous book. And he did a lot of photographing just the weird detritus that are in people's studios, like not necessarily in my shot. It's not like that. It's my whole studio. It's me and my dog working on it. My dog does hard work on a giant piece on the floor. But in a lot of them, it's just like the weird stuff that artists collect or the way they work is indicated. And then in this show, it's the artist's work and his photographs, these huge photographs. It's a beautiful, beautiful show.
Wow.
And he's a very interesting dude. It's a gorgeous show. And that opened last night, too, in some sort of weird...
I don't know about you, but I'm like, we got 50 artists here right here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
That works.
Got a lot more than that, but it's really cool.
But this is really, really interesting. Like, some of them are, a couple of them died since he started shooting this, like Richard Hunt, people that are very, I think maybe Ray Yoshida was in there. But then older artists, very old artists like Phyllis Bramson, and then all the way down to really young artists. We all recommended each other. I was one of the first artists he shot. And, you know, so he got into all these people's studios and just looked at how it is that they make work. And it's really interesting. The book is beautiful.
Diane Christensen, you are a Chicagoan, right? Born and raised?
No. I'm from Grinnell, Iowa.
Iowa, that's right. You went to school in Iowa.
Everywhere else. You went to school in Iowa?
No, you went to school in Iowa.
Yeah, I went to Interlochen Arts Academy for high school, and then I went to Grinnell College in Iowa.
Right. Iowa's listening tonight, by the way. Because we do a round robin where we find out where people are, and we've got 15 states that checked in tonight.
Howdy, Iowa.
Yes.
We're going to do you all a favor and shut up and let them do whatever they want to do. What do you guys want to do?
We're going to do a song of mine called We Are Walking in a Forest.
We are walking in a forest. We are counting the sounds. Darkness falls all around us. We are not scared. We are draining of color. Slivers of gray and of black. We move closer to each other. We are leaving the past. Go, but the time has come, I know. I awoke from the dream. Unsure of time and of tide, a long rope bridge across a ravine. You are on the other side. The time has come, I know. I don't wanna go, but the time has come, I know.
That was wonderful.
Oh, look at these goosebumps. Yeah. Really? Oh, my gosh. We love you, Steve, but dang.
Yeah. It's definitely
sweet.
Much better when Diane's around.
Oh, my gosh. Your harmony is fabulous. He said good things about you when you weren't here back in the summer.
He
so
does. He's really nice.
Wow. That's a gorgeous song, and that's from what album?
That's from the record called At the Bottom of a Canyon in the Branches of a Tree, the previous record on Pravda Records that came out in like 2021, I think.
That's right. You have a new record that's on Pravda.
I do.
In fact, that's when we had you on back in the summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pravda's an interesting record company
it
here
is.
In Chicago,
it
too.
Is. Yeah, it's great. Ken Goodman is the president, CEO.
God bless him.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. Yeah. They're celebrating their 40th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And, he's a good guy, music lover.
When you were Dolly Varden, were you independent or were you with a...
We were in a bunch of different... We had a record label in New York, which I was just... We just saw Mike Bradburn, the bass player from Dolly Varden last night, and we were just laughing about that we were on Evil Teen Records for a while.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
we were not evil.
We were neither evil nor teen.
We were neither. But we were on Evil Teen for a while. We were on Undertow for a while. And then we put out one just ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and English labels put,
They got
well,
licensed.
No.
And didn't I see you just posted where the Dumbest Magnets is back out again? And
it
this
is,
time
yes.
you guys control it?
Yeah, we got it back.
We control the Dumbest Magnets.
That came out in 2000 on Evil Teen Records. And, we just were able to get the rights to the whole thing back. So, it's back out in the world again.
You put that on Facebook. How does it make you feel when you see someone like one of your fans wrote, oh, thank goodness, that CD is in regular rotation in my world.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And I see that and I think that is the coolest compliment.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah, when something that old still has an impact.
Yeah, and it's in regular rotation.
People really responded to that record. That was a good one. It continues to be.
Because the songs still resonate today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, you mentioned Mike, the bass player, because we were fortunate enough to have Mike in studio with you guys a couple of times.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What is he doing now?
He plays... Oh,
he's a great bass player.
He plays with a group called the Neverly Brothers. Do you know
them? Oh, sure.
Yeah, he plays with them. he plays with us when we play. We just played out at Hey Nani, and Mike joined us, and Matt joined us.
Hey Nani's really becoming a place.
It's great.
It's a great venue. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. It's cool.
Is it a listening room?
It's small.
Yeah.
It's very much a listening room. It feels like playing in England or something where everybody's like...
It's real nice.
The Chicago area has some really good listening rooms.
They do.
Space up in Evanston.
Oh, Space is the best. Great.
Yeah, we consider Space a listening room because every time we've gone, people have been respectful. And even though you've got a drink or maybe you got a piece of pizza, you're still listening to the person on stage.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Studio 5 in Evanston?
I don't know that one.
Yeah, I think isn't it an offshoot of Space?
Oh, maybe
somebody will correct us.
Yeah, Corky Siegel has been up there recently.
And you have a show coming up at a place called Outpost After Dark.
Yeah, that's with my friend Tommy Zender, he's played on a couple of my records, and he makes records of his own. He's a multi instrumentalist. He plays drums and guitar and slide instruments, and he sings. He's great. Great to work with. So he and I are doing a duet concert. The two of us are playing together at a place in Evanston that's run by Chris Green. Do you know him?
I know the name.
Saxophone player, jazz saxophonist. He's kind of curates this series, salon. They call it a salon series at this art gallery called The Outpost in Evanston.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad that what's happening right now wasn't happening while you're singing, because my whole chair is vibrating. I don't know if you guys are feeling. We're on the 18th floor. My microphone is moving and my chair is vibrating. And I'm like, I'm having a spiritual experience over here. This is weird.
We've had that happen occasionally. I don't know what
it
is.
Look at my microphone. It's bouncing.
Yeah, you. Wow.
It's a weird sensation.
If the mic's bouncing, don't... I don't know how you finish that. I don't know how that.
Don't come knocking if the mic is bouncing.
Yeah, exactly, something like that.
You got to work on that.
Yeah, let me think about it.
Steve Dawson and Diane Christensen are with us in studio, and that show is on the 17th of November in Evanston at Outpost After Dark, and that's Steve with Tommy Zender. And then we mentioned the show that Steve and Diane are doing with Muriel Anderson, and that's going to be on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which is November 30th. And we got a lot more to cover with these two, so stay with us on WGN.
Oops, we have to shut up and talk. Steve King and Johnny Putnam, WGN Radio. I wish you could see the look on Diane's face right now.
Hot mics, come on.
Because we're having a very interesting conversation about...
Yes, we're adults.
Fact, we need to test one of the microphones. So Diane, say, speak in tongues.
Speak in tongues. Well, I was talking about Miss Torso from Rear Window. You know.
Yes, right? Because we were... this is Diane's first time in this studio, and so we were talking about what lovely view we have, including some of the people who enjoy... doing things to get our attention while we're in the studio in this fish tank. we have with us in studio tonight Steve Dawson and Diane Christensen. You guys have been married for how many years?
34.
Yeah, we just hit 34.
Okay. Yeah. And
Steve was like, quick, I know.
No, it just happened. That's why.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the rest of the story from the last time you were in with us, Steve, and we alluded to how you two met. And your landlord was Diane. And Diane, you want to tell the rest of that story?
I guess I shtipped my tenant. Is that what you're looking for?
Shtip being the technical term.
Yeah, it's the Yiddish, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how much do you want? I tried to be as nasty as I could to him because I was really attracted to him, and it somehow didn't take. I mean, I was just all out mean, and then he just continued to be really sweet. And
look, he's blushing.
I know. I mean, it's true. He knows it.
I love the fact that he's actually blushing
after all these years.
Really,
I mean, it's embarrassing. To
he's
think
scared
how,
to death.
How mean
gonna,
I was.
Well, he's actually frightened that you're going to say something. Yeah. And he's like, ah, please.
I don't know. Well, maybe.
Yeah. No, I was nasty. He came upstairs at one point and said, you know, my stove doesn't light, and you know,
that's a line I've tried to use so many times.
And I said, for $400 a month, you can light your own blanket stove. And then he was like, you know, a year later, we're, you know, like, you want to get married? And I'm like, yeah, you know, just the meaner I got, the nicer he got. And it's been that way ever since, you know.
When did you start singing together? Were you married?
Pretty early on.
No. That's how we got to be friends.
Really?
Because he was living downstairs, and that was the attraction, was like.
The person that I moved to Chicago, this guy named Nicholas Barron, who you might know Nicholas Barron. He's mm-hmm. a singer-songwriter and a painter. He rented the apartment because he was already living here, and he rented the apartment. I was still in Boston. And so I showed up and moved in, and I had a 4-track recorder, and I was going to, and I had been making recordings, and Nicholas wanted to make some recordings. He knew Diane sang. Mm-hmm. So we were making some demos for Nicholas in our basement. Was the first time we sang together.
Yeah, and I remember that you had like a Dorito stuck in your teeth, and I thought, if I could be so attracted to someone who's got a Dorito stuck in his tooth, that I am in serious, serious trouble.
Can you believe it?
No, it might have been one of those blue chips.
All right. I don't think they had blue chips in the 1980s.
They did. Don't you remember? Okay, whatever. But in the 1980s, is that what you
said? Yeah.
Yeah, way back in the 80s.
Yeah, they didn't have blue. They didn't have blue corn.
Okay, well, anyway, you had
some new
and
fangled.
I was just like, you know what? That has got to be, you know, I loved singing with him, and he was just so kind.
But more
and smart.
So is when Gus was over with Nick singing old folk songs and country songs. He's a guy that taught at the Old Town School, Gus Friedlander.
Oh, we know Gus.
Yeah. So he was sitting around. He produced a record with Nicholas and this teenaged organ phenom. I can't remember the guy's name, but Gus was over and started singing like George Jones songs and old country folk songs. And I knew them, and Diane knew them. And it was just like, we all knew the same song. It was really interesting. It's like, it's not like people my age at that time knew those songs.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
No, there were, I mean, it was...
Like, who knows The Race Is On?
But then, yeah, we both, like... And it was so weird. And the minute we sang together in that capacity, it was, like, a moment of just...
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of reminds me of... when people in the same family sing and you can feel
right.
that resonance
something. Yeah.
So that feels like it's always been the case. And we both were looking at each other like, what? I know.
Well, let's do that right now.
Yes.
Why don't you sing together?
I think we should sing Spaces in Between.
All right. Whatever you want.
So I sang this when I was here this summer. But like, as you mentioned, now it'll be the better version because the harmony is here.
Life's too short and it takes too long. Years fly by and the days drag on. I made a wish, it did not come true. I found other things to do. Filled with hope, I'm filled with dread. I get so tired, but I don't go to bed. I cannot stop the spinning in my brain. I drift away, I come back again. Wish I could forget a lifetime learning I haven't even started yet. It's all so easy, it's harder than it seems. The music comes from the spaces in between.
Thank you.
That's, oh boy,
I love that. So good.
That is as close to Everly Brothers harmony as I've heard in years. There's this kind of familial harmony thing that happens with you two.
Thanks, but we get along. Those guys fought like cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Good point, yes.
Yeah, no, we get along strangely well.
Yeah, we just spent 10 days in a car together.
3,000 miles.
Yeah. Well, and it was drive 6 hours, play a gig, drive 5 hours. And we kept saying, man, this is really fun. Because the pandemic shut a lot of that down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You'd have something scheduled, and then you were afraid to do it, or you didn't do it, or it got canceled. And so it was really kind of a blast.
It was.
Well, a listener wants to know if the show in Lincolnwood, the house concert on the 23rd, is that open to the public?
Absolutely.
Purchase your ticket. You can come to Molly's house.
Molly's House Concerts is, if you type that into Google, it'll show up, and there's tickets, yeah.
Okay.
The capacity is only like 50, so... I would say get tickets now. Don't wait.
So Molly has a big house?
Her basement.
Cool.
Yeah, a lot of people set up like venues in their spaces. I mean, the one that we played in Maine, we'd played there before, but it's like a... It's just huge. It's a barn where there's a, you know.
You made it almost like a music venue.
It's a music. Yeah. It's a beautiful music venue.
Do they feed you at these house concerts?
Sometimes,
yeah. I think I ate some... Maybe not things I shouldn't have eaten. There was a lot of cookies,
well,
cookies
also,
and popcorn
along the way. We had friends or fans giving us like care packages at almost every stop.
Yeah, so I baked you a bundt cake. I mean, you know,
how sweet.
And, you know, it's, and
well, we, our friend Karen in Rhode Island gave us a Rhode Island care package that had like fudge and all this stuff.
Oh, nice.
And we had way too much treats.
Well, my oldest friend happens to be listening tonight from Santa Rosa, California. And she said, I am loving the music. Tell them to come to the West Coast.
Yeah.
Do wine country.
Yeah.
And we'll get you some radio gigs. So there you go.
Well, we are supposed to do
next summer.
Next summer. So
that's the plan.
Yeah.
Well, good. We'll put you in touch with her. Seriously, we'll hold you to that.
Right on.
I want to show you guys. This is the list of songs we were going to choose from. But you're too good, so we're not playing any of those songs because we want to hear more of you live. So, see, you have eliminated yourself from our playlist because we want to hear more of you playing live. So what do you want to do?
Do you want to sing The Thing You Love Is Killing Me?
No.
Okay. Oh, California?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
All right. This is a song from my newest record. This is called Oh, California. Everybody's got some place to be. Things to see. Well, I'm still digging out from under this mess. It's anybody's guess. When will you let me be your slow motion death on the wind and off the sea? Oh, California, when will you let me be? Look, here comes that stupid barefoot kid. Ice cream on a stick. He took the bait again. Now he's jumping from that moving car, hitting the shoulder hard. He's such an easy mark. Oh, California, when will you let me be your slow motion death on the wind and on?
off the sea. Whoa, California. When will you let me be?
Boy, I got chills.
Yeah.
Man, you guys are a great audience.
Well, you know, I'm tickled because my girlfriend in California is going, yay! That's perfect.
That's the happiest song about California.
That's true, but it's really, really sweet. And that's from your Ghosts CD on Pravda Records.
It is.
Readily available. Yeah. Folks can go to your website, too, and access
it.
Go
to my website, the Pravda Records website, Bandcamp. It's anywhere.
And Diane, you did the artwork on the CD.
I did, and I did the artwork, but it was an older painting that a lot of times when I do the cover artwork, you know, it's like something that if I sell the painting, then I don't have rights to it after that. They're usually big paintings.
Oh, I see.
But this one, the person who has it gave us the rights, so we made a series of prints of the cover, which is like this. I think it's a really... It's a really sort of interesting, spooky, but I would never have chosen it for a record because it was an older painting, but Pravda Records.
Yeah, Sheila Sachs. She's
Sheila
the designer.
Sheila Sachs is amazing. Yeah. She pulled it out of my website, and she was like, this one. And then when I thought of it, I was like, yeah, that is the perfect. And so we made these prints, so if anybody wants one, they can find that on Bandcamp too, probably, right?
Yep, Bandcamp.
Yeah, because normally that's not something, you know.
Yeah, and you're on the CD, too. You're singing on the CD, too.
Steve has a all-star roster on that record.
Yeah, everybody's on that record.
Everybody. Elvis.
Elvis Presley.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I thought, nah.
Beethoven.
You can barely hear him.
Really, yes.
Yeah. Ten Sinatra.
Cuts on that.
Yeah.
Yes. 10 cuts on that CD, and the CD is Ghost, and it's on Pravda Records. Tying up some loose ends here, because listeners said, oh, you're going to be with Muriel Anderson. That's on the 30th of November. Both of you will be at that concert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to love it. It's a love fest. It really is.
I have to ask, because we've been getting some texts, any Dolly Varden CDs in your future?
Oh, possibly. We never ruled that out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like what Steve writes and what's the, and, you know, if I write, I have been writing, but we haven't been recording them because, you know.
I've been with my different solo records. I've been just trying to realize different dreams of mine. One was to play with these jazz guys that I just love their music. This Jason Adashevitz and Jason Rebke and Frank Rosalie. So that was this project called Funeral Bonsai Wedding. I wanted to make a record with a string quartet. So I did that. I wanted to make a record with this sort of Chicago all-star band with Brian Wilkie on pedal steel and Gerald Dowd on drums and all that. So, yeah, I'm just kind of making a checklist of, like,
nice.
You know, dreams. So I would like to make another Dolly Varden record, sure, yeah. But I still have other, like, dreams on the list, too. So, and
okay. What are the dreams for, musical dreams for 2025?
Well, I'm still figuring that out. I don't know.
Well, I was saying that we might do another duets thing.
We had so much fun singing, just the two of us. It really had fun, and it was really sort of soul satisfying to sing just the two of us every night on this tour. Mm-hmm. So we were thinking something that is much more intimate like that, more like what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. You know? Soul satisfying is exactly.
Mm-hmm. Is your daughter a musician?
She's tried different things. She's played cello. She's played
banjo.
She's more serious about banjo these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
No.
As a former accordion player, the banjo used to take some of the heat off
banjo
me.
Banjo is cool now.
Yeah, it is very cool. And I used to say, if only I'd known cool accordion music, I would have stuck with it too. Yeah. But I was a laughing stock of the street. And now they're going, oh, no, here she comes with that suitcase.
Yeah, if you just wait long enough.
I love accordion. I love it.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think you know the Les Paul accordion joke.
Oh, yes.
About the guy who, he was an accordion player.
Left his accordion in the car.
Went into the store to get something, came out, and there were five more accordions in the car.
I've heard that, but only as a banjo joke. So yeah. There you go. So,
yep.
That's why I feel that I can pick on the banjo being an accordionist.
Right,
But I did have the cathartic experience of setting my accordion on fire.
Wait,
for charity. So
was, if you remember, the Plainfield tornado.
This radio station did a fundraiser for the plane.
How is setting your accordion on fire going to raise
funds? We performed.
I know, but so it didn't burn permanently.
Yeah, of course it did.
Because this was at the Rialto Square Theater.
Sold out.
Everybody from WGN, we sold out the theater to raise money to take care of some of the people who had had problems because of the tornado. When Johnny and I get out there, I sit down. I'm playing Johnny Be Good. Johnny has her accordion. And when it comes time for the ending and we're saying, go, Johnny, go, Johnny steps to the front of the stage, takes the accordion off.
Wow.
And then I had a fireplace match in my back pocket. I struck it on the bottom of my boot, and then the audience started screaming, burn it.
It was so funny.
And let me say that we were raising money for instruments for the kids who'd lost their instruments, and I felt compelled to say that this was a non-working accordion.
People were convinced.
We got it from the ALS Foundation. We made a donation.
I thought you were burning a perfectly good accordion. That doesn't have a place.
Diane, they were convinced that they heard me playing accordion, but you were good. Why would you burn your accordion?
And Johnny was just miming on stage when we were playing.
They're like, oh, you were so good. This is crazy.
That's pretty fantastic.
Was that filmed?
Yes, it was.
There is archival video of that.
And you were sitting down because you were in a wheelchair at the time, so that was why you were sitting down. But we took the accordion to the alley behind the Rialto Square, and we put it there. And as we were leaving that night, I look in the side mirror, and I went, oh, no, we can't just leave it there. So I jumped out of the car, and I put it in the trunk of the car. Our car smelled like fire for the next year.
Yep.
There's nothing worse than that burnt accordion smell, you know?
The bellows. Ooh.
This is something that you can't appreciate unless you're in radio and you have ever pinched your hand with your headphones as you were trying to quickly put them
on.
My headphones just decided to get angry and say,
yes. And just think,
and that's exactly what they said.
Some guys go out, they pour hot tar on roofs and things. And,
this hurts.
I know, honey. I'm sorry.
I have an owie.
You soldier on for 3 more hours.
I'll try my best.
Yes.
We lock the doors, and Steve Dawson and Diane Christensen are in the studio with us for a few more minutes because we want to be sure we tie up all the loose ends. We were talking during the break about the fact you've got a show together on December 7th, sponsored by your record company, Pravda Records, right?
Yeah, so Pravda Records has been celebrating their 40th anniversary. They did a big show at Fitzgerald's with a million bands, but they'd be doing these sort of smaller, more intimate shows. And the one we're doing is on December 7th at the Judson and Moore Distillery, which is a pretty new music venue that's a whiskey distiller in Chicago. And I don't know the exact address, but I think it's on Rockwell.
Yeah, it's right by the river.
Yeah, Rockwell and River. But if you look up Judson and Moore,
it's a nice venue.
Up.
It's beautiful, yeah.
And that's December 7th. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Okay, that's December 7th. So, again, you can follow them. That date does not happen to be on Steve's website, but we'll get it up there because that's the one, as he said, from Pravda Records. The website is stevedawson.com, and the latest CD is Ghost.
And Diane, your website, if people want to check out some of your work.
ChristensenStudio.com. And there's paintings, animations, and all other kinds of projects. And
Christensen spelled the
C H R I S T I A N S E N Danish.
No, Danish is not in the address.
ChristensenStudio.com.
Yes,
that's the Danish spelling.
Okay, yes. Before you guys get out of here, one more tune.
Sure.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
You should know by now, everything you say will be misinterpreted. Turn around right now, every step you take leads you further from the good. Come on now, obsidian, soften your skin, let the change begin. Come on now, the soft clay of your heart is a place to start. I pray that you can. You should see yourself contorting into shapes to try and re-explain yourself. We would all just laugh if it wasn't such a shame this time. It's a matter of life and death. Come on now, obsidian, soften your skin, let the change begin. Soft clay of your heart is the place to start. I pray. I pray you can. Skin, let the change begin. Come on now, the soft clay of your heart is the place to start.
So good.
Golly.
What? Cookies.
I'm going to keep feeding you cookies, girl. CD is that on?
That's from an older solo record of mine called I Will Miss the Trumpets and the Drums from 2010, I think.
I've never heard that one.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Very nice.
Yeah, that's, people like that song.
Wow. And the two of you will be performing. I looked it up on the Judson and Moore site, judsonandmoore.com. It's the Provida 40th Anniversary Showcase and Whiskey Release.
Oh,
the same night. Tickets are only $15. It sounds like a party.
Yeah.
And this is on Saturday night, December 7th at 8 o'clock. I'm thinking about whiskey and music. Yeah. And like
releasing the whiskey.
Their whiskey is delicious. It is, if that's your thing.
And that's Judson and Moore. And I had no idea that they were here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they've got a great events
page. It's nice.
They even have a polka night, November 24th. I can get a part-time gig. Wow, you guys, it's been such a treat to have you in studio
with
us.
Thank you so much.
And to reconnect with you after all these years.
Yeah.
Golly.
Thank you.
As we said this off the air, but on the air, because that makes it official, promise you're going to be coming back soon.
We'll come back soon.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, the cookies, you know.
Brownies next time.
No, you two are the best.
Oh, thank
back
you.
Back at you.
And we're so happy that we could introduce you to Muriel Anderson.
Yes.
And send
thank
us
you.
A text after you do that show, because
okay. Oh, yeah,
I think you're going to be kind of blown away, because there are people who've been coming to the show for the last 26 years.
Yeah.
And they've come as children, and now they've grown up, and they're bringing their kids to the show to see Muriel. And
Diane, have you ever seen Muriel's harp guitar?
It's crazy.
It's Muriel's a tiny person, and the guitar is like her size. It's two guitars.
If you can imagine, it's the regular guitar, but above that is a kind of a harp thing that has the bass strings, and then below that, she has some really high string. There's a total of about 16 strings in this thing.
I call those at the bottom of the harmonics, I call those the angel strings, because it always sounds like angels.
No, she started doing that when we were playing that live stream. I was like, where is that coming
from? I know.
Yeah.
It's magical.
It's nuts,
And she used to work with a big guitar that was bigger than she was. So the one she plays now, it's a custom-made guitar.
Because the big one, she literally played it laying her head on it. It was so big that she was like, she couldn't hold her chin up.
She really wanted to play that thing.
She did.
Well, and I'll never forget one of the first times we had Muriel in studio. I asked her, because she is such a small person, and I said, how the heck did you ever figure that your small fingers could go around those big? And she said, well, nobody ever told me I couldn't do it.
I think there's a lot of that in the world of the arts. Where
you two are going to love being on stage with Muriel.
And so that's on November 30th, and that is going to be at the First Congregational Church. They moved it from the high school because the church is actually bigger and the acoustics are wonderful. Mm. So you're going to love that.
And that's in Des Plaines, right?
In Downers Grove. Downers Grove.
Well, yeah, thanks for suggesting us for that.
Sure,
I really appreciate that.
And again, you can follow both Muriel. Muriel, listen to me.
Yeah.
Can I get a ride home with you guys? Really? I'm so relaxed.
No,
I'm so relaxed. I'm like, okay, some good music. I'm ready to go home.
They release the whiskey.
Let's release the whiskey.
Yeah,
you guys, thank you so much for coming in tonight. It's been a real pleasure. Steve Dawson and Diane Christensen, and we're proud to say they're Chicagoans, and they're here to stay. They ain't going nowhere, so we're lucky to have them here in town. Stay with us here on WGN.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state. Then nearly 14 billion years ago, expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a Big Bang.
Hey! It did.
Yes.
And,
You know what? The boss is going to listen tonight, and we're not going to get paid, because we're having so much fun just talking to people that we love and we just love hanging with. You know, we had Steve and Diane in studio with us, and now we get to talk to one of our favorite people, because she's always a bundle of energy and one of the hardest working women I know. She's Jessica Radloff. Jessica, how are you tonight?
Hey, Jessica.
Hi, guys. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you. Jessica is the senior West Coast editor for Glamour magazine, and you heard The Big Bang Theory, because she is the author of the New York Times best-selling book, The Big Bang Theory,
The Definitive Inside Story.
And how many languages is the book out in now, Jessica?
Oh, my God. I love you guys so much. I think I'm going to say it's in 7 languages now.
Really?
I know it's in Portuguese, and it is in German, and it is, oh gosh, why can't I think? It's in Polish.
Italian?
Italian, actually, no. And the poor Italians are waiting for it, as well as in France. And I'm like, I don't understand the hold up here, because this show was huge in those.
Is it really?
And fans have been messaging me constantly in the months and, you know, a couple of years since. They're like, when is it coming out in Italy? And when is it coming out in Germany? I'm like, that is a very good question, because I would like to go to Italy and Germany, Italy and France to go, you know, promote the book and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, please. I really need help getting it there so that I can go travel to some of these places and sign copies and do all that.
Well, now, do you have your book in all of the different languages? Do you have a copy?
I have a copy for most of them, except for, I don't have the Russian version, and I don't have the German version.
Wow.
Have you ever had anyone try to translate or read to you from the other languages? And I'll tell you where I'm going with this.
Okay, please do. True, no, I have not.
Because sometimes translations get a little confused. Yeah. Many years ago, Johnny and I were putting together a TV table. Okay. As we were putting together this TV table, we were reading the instructions. The instructions were translated from, I believe, it was Chinese or Japanese or something like that. And, and you had to do, at various points, you had to screw things in. And instead of saying screw them in, they use the F word.
Every place.
So you F this into this, and you... And this isn't a friend of a friend. We had the manual, and we were cracking up.
It took us an afternoon to put the TV stand together because we just were rolling. Nobody would, and this was before the internet, so we couldn't put it up on the internet.
Yeah.
But we said, oh my God, out of all the words you would use for the word screw, that one? Really?
That one?
Yes.
So my point is you might want to have somebody check the translations and make sure that they're accurate.
Oh my gosh, that's hysterical.
Well, now
that is really, really funny.
Before we get into talking about things coming up on television in November, did I just read that Jim Parsons said that, in fact, he would be making an appearance on the Georgie Mandy First Year of Marriage TV show? Have you heard anything about that?
Okay, that would be news to me because so far he's very busy on Broadway.
Yeah.
But I would be very skeptical of that being true because I don't think he would come on a first year show yet like that. Also, it would be hard because Georgie and Mandy is still set in the mid 90s, whereas he would still be too young. His character would be too young to appear on it. So Ian Armitage could go on it, but unless they did another flash forward, it would be kind of hard for Jim to do it. And also, if that was the case and I didn't know, then there are going to be some phone calls after this to find out why don't I know about this?
That's right.
Because I like to think I know everything about this show and this universe. So, yeah, as far as I know... No, Jim will not be a part of Georgie and Mandy this season, at least.
Because if he was, that would be a strange visitor from the future that had come back to say hello to them.
Yes, exactly. I've got to
tell you, when we last talked, the show had not aired, the Georgie and Mandy's First Year of Marriage.
First marriage.
I'm absolutely sold on the show. I went into it going, I'm not so sure.
I was really hesitant, but the cast is perfect. The scripting is perfect. And the guy who...
Montana?
Not him.
Montana Jordan.
But the guy who plays his father-in-law. Oh, boy, is he good.
Will Sasso, who plays Jim.
He's terrific.
Yeah, the whole cast.
He was also in the final season of Mom, and he was so good in that. And
I have to say,
actually, speaking of November television, I just watched this morning an advanced screener of Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage, the Thanksgiving episode, which will air this coming Thursday night. And it feels almost a little too early to have the Thanksgiving episode already, but we're going to have it. And it is the best episode yet. I mean, I know it's only episode 5, but it is the best episode yet. Reagan Rivard as Missy is back, along with Annie Potts as Meemaw, and Joey Perry as Mary, and also Craig T. Nelson as Dale. And we haven't seen Craig on the spinoff yet, so he comes back for that too. So it is so great to see them all together. It really, this episode in particular, will really remind you of young Sheldon. And it's just a superior episode. So that'll air this Thursday night on CBS and Paramount Plus, and it's a really fantastic one that I think especially young Sheldon fans will really, really like.
I wonder if you have the same reaction that I do. Obviously, it's a spinoff of The Big Bang and of Young Sheldon, but very quickly, it's found its own footing. Yes, it is rooted in that history, but it's got its own people, its own thing, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. You know, as much as they know, and by they, I mean Chuck Lorre and Steve Molaro and Steve Holland, they know that fans love Young Sheldon and they miss that show. They're trying to make sure that Georgie and Mandy stands on its own without having or wanting to bring back the Young Sheldon cast all the time, because you want to establish these new characters also. But so far, I think they're striking a really smart balance between, you know, paying homage to Young Sheldon and bringing that world back, because they are still in Medford at that same time period, but also letting these other characters kind of grow and find their way. So the show has a full series, full first season order. So I'm excited to see where it mm-hmm. goes, especially over the next dozen plus episodes.
Yeah.
Jessica, I want to do a complete left turn on you for something. There was something that popped up in our news feed within the past week, and I did a double take. After the first of the year, there is going to be a new daytime soap, the first new daytime soap in years.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes. Okay, I feel better now. I was really scared where you were going with that. What are they going to ask me? And do I know what to say? But yes, I do know about it. And it's coming on CBS, and it's replacing The Talk. So, yeah, it's the first new daytime soap in years. I can't even remember the last new daytime soap opera. Maybe it was Port Charles. So that's exciting, and it'll be coming in the new year. And I'm curious to see how it's going to do.
Well, some of the actors are people that we recognize, because we were big fans of Guiding Light and As the World Turns. And so some of those people, thank goodness, they've popped up on this new show, at least in the trailer that we saw. And it's very, very timely. I mean, we have just everybody you can imagine represented in this gated community. I think I've always said there was room for a soap opera during the day. I mean, it was sad that those people lost their job. It's not like they were getting rich working a soap opera.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. Now, I'm going to say...
Yeah, no, me too.
Partly personal, there's a show that we finished last night. It was a 6-episode series on the CW. I don't think it got a lot of play here, but it was quite the show over in Great Britain.
It was so good.
Joan, did you ever tune in to Joan?
I heard about it and wrote it up in our watch this guide. I did not get a chance to really do a deep dive into it, and I want to.
Oh, do.
Because it stars Sophie, and I'm blanking on her last name right now. But I totally know what you're talking
from
about.
From the Game of Thrones.
She is so good. And Johnny and I just realized as we were watching last week.
Sophie Turner.
She's in almost every single scene.
And it's set in the 80s, so she wears these fabulous disguises, and she pulls them off.
And it's based on a true story.
True story about the, I guess, the biggest jewel thief ever. She's, like, legendary. She's still alive today. She's a jewel thief over in Great Britain. And, in fact, she was at the premiere of the series in Great Britain with her kids. And I thought, wow, when you watch the show, you think she's in Sing Sing someplace. She's off in prison because of things that she did, but nope. And I even ordered the book, Joan. If I wanted the copy that came out in 2001, it would cost me $153 for the paperback.
But
they decided to re-release it with Sophie's picture on the cover of it for a mere $21. So I ordered that one.
There you go.
Yes.
And you, Johnny, being an influencer.
Yes.
The release date is Christmas Eve, so we're getting it on Christmas Eve.
Right. Okay. The Matlock fans are coming out of the woodwork. It seems like we're doing this for CBS. There are other shows we know, folks, like Joan is on the CW. Matlock fans, they are... Thanks to Kathy Bates, she's been everywhere promoting the show. That's understandable, but the people who watch it, they love it, and they want to know, is it coming back? Do you know if it's coming back for a second season?
Yes.
It already has been renewed for season 2. So Kathy Bates will not be retiring anytime soon. So it was one of the first renewals of the 2024 season. And, it's really exciting how well it's done. And it's always great to see a female actor and character who really captures the zeitgeist. Also, especially, it's so great to see a female who is over the age of 60 be the main lead. And that's what's really great about Matlock and Kathy Bates. And, I mean, it's just, it's a really fascinating show. The cast is phenomenal. The writing is great. There's a lot of different ways this show could go. So I hope it's around for a really long time.
Let me stick with CBS for at least one more moment. We're huge Blue Bloods fans, and we've been watching these final episodes. But I have to be honest. Frankly, I'm a little disappointed. I expected more out of these final 8 episodes, and I'm just saying, oh, okay, it's another Blue Bloods episode.
Of course, we watched 14 seasons this summer.
Because we know how to have fun.
We watched all 14 of them this summer, so we've got something to compare this to.
I completely understand. I mean, I think what they're trying to do here is just keep Blue Bloods, the Blue Bloods that everybody has fallen in love with for these last 14 seasons. I think once we get to the penultimate episode and the finale, that's when you're really going to get payoffs for certain things. They're not going to all of a sudden, like, you know, take the show in an entirely new direction, because that's not what the show is. But there's going to be certain storylines that I think that people have been wondering about. Will this happen? Will this won't happen? That'll finally get addressed. And it'll really feel like monumental episodes. But the episodes leading up to it, it's traditional Blue Bloods, which is, of course, you know, it's understandable why they would do that, because, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So,
but I've got to tell you,
I think you're going to get some payoff in the coming few weeks.
On the heels of spending the summer literally watching all seasons of the show, I know that's how I will remember the summer of 2024. I think what we're doing is everything that happens in these episodes, I'll turn to Stephen and say, that's a clue. Look, he's breathing heavily, walking up the stairs. He's going to die at the end.
Because they have historically dropped breadcrumbs throughout the series.
So, and then Grandpa, he wants to have a living wake and say, oh no, he's going to die. That's why they've got the wake now.
I know. So, I want nobody to die on Blue Bloods.
Yes.
I still want to spin off. It's going to be sad when it's over, because it has been such a staple for so long. I mean, Grey's Anatomy is now in season 25. Why the heck can't Blue Bloods go that long?
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. We were there for the first 10 seasons, and then it became too stressful for me. I thought, I can't watch this show.
By the way, I'm wrong. It's not 25. I think it's 20. It's going into its 21st season now. I don't know where I got 25.
Oh, well, then.
21, 25.
Yeah, 25, I know. But yes.
Okay, speaking of long-running series, a listener says, is it true that Outlander has been canceled?
No, it hasn't been. Well, okay, let me explain this. Outlander is ending after season 8. So technically, that's not a cancellation per se. It's more of like the show will eventually be ending. However, here's the thing. Outlander Part 2 of season 7. So Outlander season 7 Part 2 will premiere later in November. It's November, I'm going to tell you in a second because I'm looking at my list, November 22nd to be exact. And that will be the back 8 episodes from season 7 that'll air. Then there's still an entire season 8 to air, which means that will come. They haven't announced when that will premiere yet. My guess is late 2025. And they also haven't announced if they're going to split that up, so there's still a lot more Outlander to come. And then of course there's going to be a prequel on Stars about the lives of Jamie and Claire's parents, so that's also going to be coming. So even though there is an end to Outlander in the foreseeable future, you still have plenty of Outlander to go.
Do networks love the idea of prequels, because they can say, okay, you like this, so we don't really feel like paying all these big buck salaries to these actors that have been with this series that you love. So let's give you the flavor of this. But we got nude actors and we've got lower budgets. So let's do this.
Right. Right. I mean, the thing that is the biggest thing when it comes to prequels is that it's really hard to get a lot of viewers to watch a new show, especially in this fragmented TV climate where there's so many channels, so many streamers, so many different options. So when you can introduce a show that audiences are already familiar with in some, you know, form or fashion, that usually bodes well for the success. And then, yes, the other part of it is that when a show is running for a long time, at least, you know, after season six, let's say, it does get more expensive to keep the actors because, of course, they deserve and they want to be paid more. And, you know, if a show gets into syndication or if it's run a certain amount, then the broadcast network or the streamer may not make as much money. So in terms of cost effectiveness, it sometimes does make sense to say, hey, how can we still keep an audience that's interested and loves these characters, but find a way to do it at a cheaper cost? So, you know, it's a double-edged sword in a way because you want to keep a show going as long as it possibly can and as long as it's relevant and making money, but this is still a business. So, yeah, so there's definitely truth to that.
Jessica, we've kind of pointed you in different directions, but I bet you're chomping at the bit to tell us about some things that you're really excited about. So what are those things?
So this is a big week in TV coming up. The rest of the year is jam-packed because so many of the networks and streamers are unveiling new shows to take us through the end of 2024. Yellowstone premieres its fifth season, the back half, tomorrow night on CBS and Paramount Plus, or Paramount Network. So I know a lot of people are super excited about that. Bad Sisters returns for season two on Apple TV Plus this Wednesday. That's created and stars Sharon Horgan. I'm most excited, though, for Wednesday night's finale of The Golden Bachelorette. And I know you guys don't watch the show, but I just love the Golden franchise so much. And Joan is down to her last two guys. So I cannot wait to see what happens and what the status is now, if she's with somebody, if she isn't, if she got engaged, if she didn't. So that's coming this Wednesday, which super excited about. And then I will be talking to Joan and potentially Chalk or Guy or nobody on Thursday. So that'll run on Glamour then. And then, of course, you know, we have the Georgie and Mandy's first marriage, the Thanksgiving episode on Thursday. That is one you shouldn't miss. And then also the second part of the final season of Cobra Kai on Netflix, that drops on Friday, too. So it's a really big week. And then, of course, the following week, we have the return of Outlander. Mm-hmm. So there is so much coming. But by the way, something else I'm really excited about, the night before Thanksgiving this year, which is Wednesday, November 27th, is The Untold Story of Mary Poppins, which is a special edition of 2020 that'll be airing, a two-hour special the night before Thanksgiving on ABC about everything you didn't know about Mary Poppins, this two-hour documentary. So I'm really curious to see what kind of Easter eggs and secrets are unveiled in that.
One thing that we've been watching that is a syndicated show, and this is a real left turn, but we're really impressed with Ryan Seacrest hosting Wheel of Fortune. He has done a terrific job.
Yes, he's really doing a great job. I really like him taking over as host. A little, you know, in the beginning, I've always liked Ryan, but I was like, oh, gosh, it would have been nice to somebody else in chance who, you know, maybe doesn't have five jobs already. So, but at the same time, too, Ryan has done a seamless job taking over. And that's really what people and fans want, is they want to be watching their favorite show and not thinking about the host. And he's just really great at it. So, yes, totally agree with you there.
And it could be just us, but it seems that Vanna and everybody else seems a little more relaxed with
him. Absolutely. I mean,
I love it.
Vanna's teasing. She's instigating conversation. And I said, because literally in the final days, I said, she's scared of Pat. She's absolutely scared of Pat Sajak. Because there were like these awkward moments when she would say something and he'd just look at her and I'd think, oh, cut, go. It's over.
Oh, my gosh.
And our last sighting of Pat Sajak was in the stands of the World Series game.
That's right.
I was going to say for the Dodgers.
Yes. Okay.
Definitely. And I think they played the theme song a little bit. They didn't play the theme song. I know what they did. They put on the Jumbotron when they were putting his name up. They did it at the Wheel of Fortune board on the Jumbotron at Dodger Stadium, which was really kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Well, what do you think about, real quick before you get out of here, Brilliant Minds? A couple of people said they love that show. Do you think it has legs?
Yeah, it's doing really well for NBC. Zachary Quinto plays a neurologist on the show. There's a new episode coming this Wednesday night. And Dr. Wolf, which is Zachary Quinto's character, he and the team perform their most experimental treatment yet, which happens to be a brain computer interface implantation in their John Doe patient's brain. So there you go for what's coming up for Brilliant Minds this week. I think, you know, you'll see more episodes, of course, roll out in the new year. And I think NBC is really pleased with how it's doing so far. And I know Mandy Patinkin's going to guest star, which is fun.
Yes.
For a couple episodes and everything. So, yeah, it's nice to see a new series succeed.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to join us. I always feel like we force you to just sit down and just cool out for a few minutes. So thank you for doing that, J-Rad. This is Jay Poo signing off.
It's always such a pleasure to be with you all, and I love that you throw me some curveballs, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are they going to ask me that I hope I can answer?
Oh, you always do.
And everything, but you guys are the best. So well, always a pleasure.
Have a good month. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say happy, healthy, early Thanksgiving.
Thanks a bunch, hon. Bye-bye now.
You know, my microphone stand is still in Halloween mode. Listen.
I'm glad you established that's your mic and not you. That would worry me. Well, this night's just zipping right by. And as I said earlier, the boss is probably listening saying, why are we paying them? They're having too much fun. They're talking to their favorite people on the radio. Come on. Right?
And again, we've had several people who were asking, who were those wonderful singers, performers that we had on? That was Steve Dawson and Diane Christensen.
Right, and you can follow them at stevedawson.com, and they have a couple shows coming up in November, so you can actually go out and see them. But that was a heck of a way to start the show tonight. But right now, it's that time of the month where we get to talk cars with our buddy Tom Appel. Tom is the guy, as in the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive at consumerguide.com. How are you tonight, Tom?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
And we were going to play one of Tom's car tunes, get it, car tunes. And maybe because we finally came up with the name Cartoons, the cartoons don't want to play tonight.
Oh, but it gave you so much joy today when you realized, cartoons, why haven't we been calling them cartoons? And
it was really kind of a duh moment.
Yes. Well, we got a lot of ground to cover, Tom. What have you been driving lately?
Interesting vehicle, and it's part of the number of electric vehicles that are probably going overlooked, and that's a bit of a shame. I drove the Subaru Solterra, and that is Subaru's only electric vehicle, and it may disappoint people at first blush because its range isn't great, and it's not truly a Subaru vehicle. It's actually built for Subaru by Toyota, and it's very similar to their BZ4X small crossover. But all that said, it has its own character, and there's a lot here to like. The interior is very nice. It's one of the best riding and handling electric vehicles I've driven. And I experienced much greater range than the stated 222 miles. The only real issue here is the price. You want to be sure that you lease this vehicle so you can take part and enjoy the $7,500 tax credit because it doesn't qualify for it for a purchase.
But
why is that? What's the difference?
Yeah, so the federal tax credit dictates a couple of things. Or to get it, you have to qualify for a couple of things. And the car that you purchase has to be assembled in the United States. Mm-hmm. This car is not. And then the battery chemistry and the battery itself need to be some percent U.S. sourced. And that's a problem here, too.
But you can take it as a lease vehicle?
Yep, and that's weird. And Joe Manchin, you may recall, Senator Joe Manchin did a lot mm-hmm. to shape this bill. And he's a little bit annoyed that you can do this by lease, but the lease is considered a commercial application. And so to not get in the way of the winds of commerce, they're allowing people to lease vehicles and qualify for the tax credit where you would not for a purchase, which is considered a consumer exchange.
Wow.
Okay, but you're not a lawyer. You just play one on the radio. So I will ask the question, what if someone were to say, okay, just hypothetically, I'm buying five of these for my business. Wouldn't that then be a business application? And if so, wouldn't they then qualify?
No. I get your point, and I agree with you, but I don't think it would for purchase. I think you'd have to lease. Now, if you were buying a vehicle that qualifies, everything's fine. But that's not the case here, unfortunately. And it's also, it gets a little bit weird, and we could talk about this at length later if you want to, but the lease situation is a little strange because that money actually goes to the lessor who is buying the vehicle that you're about to basically rent.
Right.
So they have to give you that money. So you have to be sure that that happens and it's applied to your lease. It's applied to your capital reduction on the lease.
Boy, was this put together by a band of lawyers. Wow.
Wow. And honestly,
yeah, it's confusing.
I thought based on our conversations over the past year that leasing was just not the way people are going these
days.
Yeah,
the more people were buying rather than leasing.
Yeah, leasing fell out of vogue during the inflation period during COVID, and because there was a car shortage, mm-hmm. and a lot of lessors were worried that people were paying kind of peak dollar for vehicles that were not going to be worth as much at the end of the lease. So a lot of dealers weren't doing leases. But leasing is it's coming back in popularity. It's not as popular as it was pre-pandemic, but it's slowly creeping back.
Hmm. What is driving the creep? No pun intended.
Because we live in a world of very expensive cars, affordability is an issue. So leasing allows a lot of people to buy a car they wouldn't be otherwise able to take advantage of.
So we're kind of getting back to the early days of leasing, and that was the rationale for leasing in the first place.
You can drive that Beamer, even though you don't think you can afford it. If you lease it, you can do that. I just use that as an example.
So once again, everything old is new again.
New again. The Solterra runs in what price range?
Like $45,000 to $55,000.
Hmm. And you're impressed with it? Comfortable?
It's very comfortable. The interior is very nice. And one of the things I really like about it, and I may have mentioned this about electric vehicles before, electric vehicles have a very weird ride characteristic where there's sort of a secondary motion after you hit mm-hmm. a big bump or like a speed bump or something like that. It's difficult to control, and the problem is the weight of the battery. And even your best car makers, BMW, for example, are having a hard time kind of controlling that secondary motion. But for whatever reason, this Solterra has it nailed. Really great ride.
Hmm. Okay, so that's made by Subaru. Uh-huh. Didn't I read that Toyota had something to do with it?
Toyota is building it for Subaru right now.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know this, but Toyota actually has a small stake in Subaru, but they do share technology. And so Toyota is building this for Subaru. Subaru does not actually have its own home-built EV yet.
Mm-hmm. And again, that is an EV. All right, we have a lot to cover tonight. There are a number of recalls. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got a couple of questions coming in from our listeners at 312-981-7200. So Tom Appel is with us. And Tom, your review of the Solterra is up at consumerguide.com, right?
That's correct.
Okay. We will be right back with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide. Stay with us here on WGN.
Thank you.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. I love that.
I do too.
One of Tom's cartoons. Tom, who is that and what is that? That's great.
Oh, yeah. That is T-Bone Walker off his 1973 album, Very Rare.
Wow.
If I had that in the car, I'd just keep driving and just keep hitting
I got to get that whole album. That's really nice.
Album. Yeah, that is. T-Bone Walker.
Because I associate T-Bone Walker with vocals and sort of pre-Chuck Berry things.
He is surprisingly versatile. I have two T-Bone Walker albums that I turn to fairly often, and they are very different in feel.
And that was 1973. Very rare came out. Okay. It's a rare visit with you, Tom, that we don't talk about recalls. And we got some to talk about tonight, don't we?
Couple of biggies.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of biggies. One of the big ones is no one's going to be surprised by this, but there's a new Volkswagen Takata recall. So this affects about 114,000 Volkswagens, mostly Beetle and Beetle convertibles, but also the Volkswagen Passat. But the problem is that there's something wrong with the airbag and it needs to be replaced, which is, we know this about Takata.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote this down and I lost my notes, but that notice is going out soon.
Yes. let's see here. And that was a biggie, too, because I saw that from the NHTSA website this week. And they indicated, as always, that you will be notified and you can go to your dealer. And we've had two vehicles, right, Steve, that we had to have the Takata airbags changed out.
Let's see. We had one, but we had to have two airbags.
Two airbags, yes.
It's the Lincoln MKX, and we had to have both the driver's and passenger side. And, Tom, how long have we been talking about Takata airbag problems?
It's more than 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least. Yeah.
Yeah, and part of the problem is that the Takata airbags were replaced with Takata airbags that weren't good early on. So this problem seems to almost be self-perpetuating.
All right, so that is 114,000 Volkswagens.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Yeah, and notice goes out December 27th.
December 27th?
Yeah, that's what I have here. Okay. So notice not going out for a while.
Yeah, and you know, we always have a problem. We always have to grumble about that, but I'm like, oh, come on. But I guess if you go into your dealership, they might not be prepared to change out that airbag just yet. So you wouldn't...
Right, they have to get replacements. Yeah. That stuff takes a while, unfortunately.
Okay, any other biggies that we need to talk about, recalls?
I think we talked about this one before, but just as a reminder, 720,000 Honda products, Civics, CRVs, and what is the other vehicle here? Accords, for a fuel pump issue. 720,000. The fuel pump can fail, basically.
Wait. 720,000?
Yeah. It's a lot of vehicles.
Yikes. Okay.
And it's a fuel pump issue. Notice goes out soon. I have it here somewhere. December 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is simply that the fuel pump goes bad. So it's one of those things where they tell you that ultimately there could be a fire, but the real problem is that the fuel pump may fail and you're just going to end up stranded more likely.
Yeah, that's what happens, right? Your car just dies and there you are on the side of the road.
Or you try to accelerate and not so much.
You can't do that.
And no acceleration, exactly.
Yeah, wow.
The other recalls we should be aware of?
Interesting one here, just because it seems so simple, but 30,000 Ram pickups, 21 through 23, the driver's side mirror glass is falling off.
So, oh,
not a good thing.
Not a good thing. Makes it very hard to drive a track. And notice is going out December 5 on that.
If I had a new car and the mirror just fell off.
I would be very disappointed.
I would. I'd be very ugly, to be honest with you.
And again, as we say quite often, the fact that you're hearing about more recalls, it doesn't mean things are being made more poorly. It means there's more attention being paid to problems, and they're trying to be addressed sooner rather than later.
Mm.
Yeah, and this all goes back to when General Motors was embarrassed by that really weird key problem, if you remember that, in the Chevrolet Cruze, where the problem was that if people had a lot of stuff on their keychain,
right?
Yeah,
it could force the key into a strange position and suddenly shut the vehicle off. And it was very, very dangerous. General Motors was terribly embarrassed by this. And we remember that Mary Barra came to rise to CEO at the time, and a lot of people thought the board was throwing her under a bus.
That exactly.
She was gonna handle this problem and then fail. And she's done quite the opposite. General Motors just turned record profits last quarter with her at the helm. So good for her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Speaking of CEOs, I want to segue just for a second, or take a turn for a second. The Nissan story.
Yeah.
They're going to reduce their CEO's monthly pay by 50%, and they're cutting 9,000 jobs. What's going on with Nissan, and is Nissan going to be around for a while?
I think Nissan will be around, but I think it may be a smaller company. Nissan just hit some really weird, tough straits, and they did a couple of things they probably didn't need to do. One of them was, people may remember this, they were selling a full-size pickup called the Titan.
Yes.
And it never caught on. And for whatever reason, they went with a second generation of that vehicle, and it was very expensive for them to build. And they ended up going with very expensive incentives to try to move that thing out the door. But the other problem was more recent, and this is North American-based, but coming out of COVID, they didn't have enough vehicles, like a lot of people, because of the chip shortage. And they wildly, wildly overproduced the Rogue, a very popular and very good compact crossover. But the problem was they had none, and then they had far, far, far too many. And a couple of things happened to them there. But one of them is that they're still trying to sell 2023 Rogues right now, but they have pricing for 2025 models. So they literally have three separate model years they're balancing, and they have to get rid of this stuff because dealers don't want this in inventory. Dealers are paying money to have that stuff sit on the lot. But Nissan's other products that are popular, unfortunately, tend to be the small vehicles and the low-profit vehicles. So even the stuff that they're selling in volume isn't really turning big money for them. So it's been awkward, and they're talking about cutting production by as much as 20%. And it sounds like on a fairly permanent basis, which means that we're looking at a smaller Nissan moving forward.
What, if anything, does that mean for Infiniti?
Infiniti is kind of a sad situation. The vehicles that they're selling right now are all more or less based on Nissans. There are no new unique Infiniti products anymore, unfortunately. And the product lineup has shrunk a little bit. Their only volume vehicle now is the QX50, which is kind of a clone of the Rogue. It's a little bit bigger. They do sell something called the QX60, which is like the Nissan Pathfinder. It doesn't sell especially well, but that's pretty much what Infiniti is selling these days.
Because for a while, Infiniti was getting close to being competitive with Lexus. That was their aim.
Yes, and Steve, the design was great, too. They were good-looking vehicles, mm-hmm. and it's a shame they didn't catch fire because they were interesting cars, and they kind of deserved more consumer attention than they got.
Tom, before we take a break, a listener wanted us to repeat the Honda fuel pump recalls. And again, if you're just now tuning in, this is 720,000 Honda vehicles in the United States and Canada have a recall yep. on them due to a high-pressure fuel pump problem. So this is the 23-24 Honda Accord and Accord yep. Hybrid, correct?
Yes.
And the 25 Honda Civic Sedan and the Civic Sedan Hybrid and the 23-25 Honda CR-V Hybrid.
Yes.
And the fuel pump may crack and leak fuel, which could increase the risk of a fire, a crash, or an injury, or you could just end up being stranded someplace because of your fuel pump. And it looks like, did you indicate that the recall notice will go out within the month, like in early December?
I got December 4 down here, Johnny.
Right. Okay, so early December.
And if you haven't received the recall notice, you don't have any of their options, like driving to your dealership now and saying, fix this now. That's not an option, right?
Yeah, they can't do anything yet. They're not set up just yet.
Right. A listener says, I just leased a BZ4X. That's little B, big Z, 4X, limited, and took delivery on Labor Day, and I love it. It's a beautiful vehicle. Now, that's a Toyota, isn't it? It's an SUV?
That is the vehicle that the Solterra is based on, yeah.
Ah.
It's a small electric crossover.
Interesting. And again, they pay people to come up with names, and they came up with little B, big Z, 4, and an X. That says so much.
For a while, that X was small, and I'm glad they didn't stick with that because it's an editor's nightmare.
Really? Oh, that's funny. Well, we're talking cars. We've got a bunch of questions that people have about towing and tow capacity and used car wholesale prices plateauing and a lot more ground.
And we have something, an unusual kind of sort of road test thing
yes.
that we're going to let you hear in a couple minutes. So stay with us at WGN. King and Johnny Puppet at WGN Radio.
I walked all night long with my gun loaded in my hand.
Ooh.
This is nasty.
I walked all night long with my gun loaded in my hand.
And this is the kind of stuff that Tom listens to while he's driving. This is one of Tom's car tunes. Tom Appelli, publisher of Consumer Guide. Tom, who is that and what is that?
That is Byther Smith off his album Walked All Night Long from 1997. And for people who don't know, Byther Smith used to take up residency in Chicago. I saw him at US Blues back in maybe late 80s. He was a great live performer. Kind of a cranky dude, famous for being.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I walked all night long with my gun in my hand.
Right. Don't mess with that guy.
And his name is Byther, B-Y-T-H-E-R.
B-Y-D-E-R,
Smith,
right?
Yeah.
Wait, is it T or D?
Oh, it is B-Y-T-H-E-R, yeah.
Byther.
You're right.
Yeah. Wow. Hmm. So sometimes you have a theme for your music, and I think Steve hit on it. Your theme tonight is nasty.
Nasty it's, blues.
Yes. Man.
We want to share something with Tom and with the rest of the class. We have talked about all kinds of new technology. One of the new forms of technology that is rearing its head, and I'm not sure I'm ready for it, is driverless cars. And if you've been with us for a minute or so, you know that we have regularly talked with Gino Salamone. He is our resident critic on this show, and he travels all over the country, all over the world. He was out in
Los Angeles,
and he had the opportunity to use a driverless car service. And this is a little bit of what it was like. We're just going to let you hear the audio of Gino. And you can go to his page. We'll try and put a link up to this. But you can see he's in the back seat. He's shooting the video. The car is driving along with nobody at the steering wheel.
And the steering wheel spins, and it's really spooky. So here's what it sounds like. This is our buddy Gino Salamone, and that was this afternoon in a driverless vehicle in California.
Okay, so it says arrival in 1 minute. We're about to get to the intersection that will turn right and take me to the hotel I stay at. Very curious how this is going to go. So far, it's been flawless. Doesn't mean I'm calm about it.
Almost there. Don't forget your phone, keys, or bag.
Okay, reminding me to not forget. Oops.
The door screw may lock when you arrive. Pull the handle twice to exit. The first pull unlocks. The second opens the door.
All right, their car is coming from the left really fast, and it waited. All right, now here's the driveway to the hotel. Oh, it's not even pulling into the hotel. It's going to drop me off in front of the hotel. Oh, finding a spot to pull over. And here we are. All right.
You're here.
I know I'm here. Okay. Look at that. Door opens after hitting the handle twice. And here we go. Look at all this stuff on here. I don't know what that does. Now it's, I guess, looking for another rider to pick up, and there it goes.
Wow. I don't know how clearly you could hear all of that because the audio was a little bit warbly, but Gino was in the back seat of this car, and it's driving by itself, and it tells him if he wants to, when they pull over, you have to pull this handle twice, and then you will be able to open the door. And you see the steering wheel turning by itself. And
he's commenting when he gets out of the vehicle on all the lights that are around the car and the light that is on top of the car. So when he gets out, now it's available for you to rent. And so the light starts going again, just like the old cabs used to do.
And as he was sitting in the back seat, he was also commenting on how they came up to an intersection. Then there was another car coming at them kind of quickly, but the other car stopped. And then this driverless. And what is it like for the other drivers to see a driverless car suddenly pulling around a corner, and then it yes. pulls up, and it didn't pull into the parking area of the hotel.
Just
it pulled
outside.
Out on the street yeah. and let him out there. I think it's fascinating technology. Do I ever want to put myself at the mercy of a driverless car? No, thank you. That's just my opinion. Tom, what do you know about this? What do you think about it?
Yeah, that was probably a Waymo. W-A-Y-M-O cap. Yeah, and those are for people who know. That's the Alphabet folks that are paying for that. And that's a Jaguar I-Pace. Jaguar is providing the cars for most of Waymo's vehicles. And what's interesting is that Waymo has permission now in many markets, including Phoenix, for example, where my buddy Dave has taken a ride in Waymo cabs, to charge for rides in driverless cars. So they've gotten to that point where they've got that much respect from the local legislators. As you know, General Motors lost that privilege in San Francisco after an unfortunate accident last year, but I think they're slowly creeping back to using those vehicles again. But yeah, they're on the road. They're in very specific markets that have been well mapped, but people can get a ride in a driverless car now in some markets.
Would you?
Oh, I think I would, just for the experience. Also, mm-hmm. one of the good things about where these cars are at is they're relatively low speed.
Hmm.
So they're in urban environments where they're yeah. generally not driving 30 miles an hour. So it seems like if something goes horribly wrong, mm-hmm. it won't hurt that much.
Now, this is just my mindset, but I don't want to put myself at the mercy of something that has that much hackable technology with no driver. And I understand that all of the computers with wheels that we drive these days are hackable. But in 99% of them, there are drivers trying to overcome
yeah.
this if it is a problem. A car with no driver and it's hacked or it's just some malfunction, no, I don't choose to put myself at the mercy of that car.
You know, you raise an interesting point, Steve, because these vehicles are always in contact with some central computer
mm-hmm.
because that's where they're getting their navigation information from. So to the extent that they are hackable, these would be more hackable, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. At the outset, you said Waymo is the cab company, and it's run by the Alphabet.
Alphabet, that's Google's now parent company.
Yes.
Google's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I
deep
just
pockets.
Say? Oh, golly.
Go. Ah. I know where you're going to go. Go ahead.
Ah.
Because those of you who have, as we do, Android phones, and
Verizon users, as of November 7th, we had to get rid of our text messaging service through Verizon. They forced us to go to Google, and I hate it. I hate it so much that every time I open up my text, I find myself grumbling.
In part because Google ties everything to everything else. So it's not as simple as, oh, I just want to send a text. No, it's, oh, do you want to send a text to this picture, and this is tied to your account here, and this
and
is
your
their
Gmail
account.
And, oh, my gosh. And everything is the same color, and I sound like, get off my lawn, but I'm telling you.
And there have been so many moments in the past week and a half when both of us have been yelling at our phones, I just want to send a damn text. That's all I want to do.
Oh, golly. So that was the big change as of November 7th.
I think we better take a break.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And, Tom, can we talk about, for our listener from 773, had a question about tow capacity,
sure.
The CRV, and sure. The RAV4. So we'll come back a lot more for Tom.
So we'll talk about toes and the rest of your feet.
Yes. 312-981-7200 if you want to sneak in a question for Tom here on WGN.
I'm gonna move, baby, way out on the outskirts of town. I'm gonna move, baby, way out on the outskirts of town. You see, I don't need nobody always hanging round.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And the only thing you got to say when you're playing something like that is, it can't be just one mm. It can't be two mms. It has to be That's one of Tom's cartoons. Tom, who is that and what is that? I love it.
I have to confess I made a mistake and sent the wrong link. That is a different version of I'm going to move to the outskirts of towns than I thought I sent you.
Well, this is good.
Send us more wrong links.
That was good.
Yeah, because
stuff.
That was awesome. That was absolutely awesome. Yeah. The version I sent you was by the Prestige Blues Swingers, including Tiny Grimes and Ray Bryant. But this was equally entertaining.
So do you have any clue who this was?
I don't.
Okay, fine.
Well, you know what, though? I can follow the link. Let me find out who this was. I can find this out. It was... Oh, it's mislabeled on YouTube. I have no idea.
Okay.
Just some good singing. Some good stuff.
Well, before we move on, the blatant plug light has just started flashing. So if people want to take a look at what's going on at Consumer Guide, what do they do, where do they go, and how do they follow you?
Yeah, go to consumerguide.com. That's where you can find our new car reviews, some of the fun stuff I do with old cars. And you can also listen to our Car Stuff podcast right there if you'd like to. It's probably better if you just subscribe. Also, last week's podcast, we talked to John Vincent of U.S. News and World Report about leasing electric cars, where we do cover the conversation we just had in a little bit more detail. So people might want to hear that.
And people can also follow you on Twix, but I think we're going to make a serious concerted effort. We'll be back in touch with you over the next couple of days to get you off Twix and get you moving over to Threads or Blue Sky, which is taking off like crazy.
I am feeling the peer pressure. I will have to do something.
Okay. 773 area code says, I had a question for our car guy regarding tow bar hitches on a Honda CRV versus a Toyota RAV4 or similar vehicle. The weight capacity at 1,500 pounds, does that include the trailer? In other words, can I tow more than 1,500 pounds?
No, 1,500 is the total weight. And you're going to need to purchase, for both of those vehicles for base models, you're going to need to purchase like a tow bar or a receiver hitch and have that mounted professionally. So the tow bar itself, the receiver hitch, going to cost you $600-$700, and installation will probably cost you another $200-$300. And then you can tow with both vehicles about 1,500 pounds. Now, if you get a RAV4 with the Adventure package or the TRD off-road package, the towing equipment comes standard, and your towing capacity goes way, way up.
Hmm.
It's 3,500 pounds in both cases.
Did we tell you that while we were looking a couple of years ago for a new vehicle, that we were looking at a Lincoln Aviator, and every one of them came with that towing package, and we kept saying, we don't want that. And they kept saying, oh, but everybody wants it. And we said, but we don't want it. We don't want to pay that extra money.
And it was $750 on the sticker.
And to order one without that, it would have taken months.
Yeah.
And dealers do that because they think it's not that expensive, and it simplifies their inventory. So they don't have to have vehicles with or without it taking up space on the lot. They just order everything with it.
Yeah.
And maybe the manufacturer gave them a small incentive for taking those. So, yeah, if you don't want it, it's unfortunate because you generally end up paying for it.
But, again, if the mantra is not that expensive, that's whose definition of not that expensive, the dealer
sure.
or the average consumer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly. And $750 is a lot of money to me.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's something that I thought was ugly. I would say to every one of them, but I don't like it. Oh, yes, but when you get ready to sell the vehicle, I said, look, we're riding in a vehicle that's 20 years old. It has 120,000 miles. I'm not worried about reselling it in my lifetime, really. And I'm not going to be hauling a trailer either. So with the listener who asked, though, you're talking about it's 1,500 pounds. That's not over and above the weight of the trailer itself.
No.
Okay.
That's total weight. So that basically is a small two-wheel trailer and maybe a couple of jet skis, nothing more.
Okay, gotcha. This one is from a 940 area code. Please ask Tom why used car wholesale prices have plateaued this year. He said that's according to the Manheim Used Car Value Index. And do you have any thoughts on when they would start falling again and eventually approach something resembling normal? That's Dan in Wichita Falls, Texas.
You know, it's funny because we just had the leasing conversation, but leasing, because the deals are usually 2 and 3 year contracts, supply most of the vehicles that car dealers use as used vehicles. So that supply has been reduced because fewer people have been leasing, and you're not in any hurry to get rid of a car if you buy it. So if you purchase a car outright, you tend not to turn it in 2 or 3 years. So mm-hmm. the supply of relatively good, recently you know, relatively new 1 and 2, 3 year old used cars has been very low. They have plateaued partially because leasing has been on the rise, and partially because people have been buying fewer cars. But I think pricing is going to stay on used cars about where it's at moving forward for a while.
Okay.
Is this a good time of the year to buy a new car?
Yes. One of the things that happened, and you may remember these conversations coming out of the COVID shortages, the chip shortages, mm-hmm. was that manufacturers promised that they were going to hold the line on inventory. That hasn't really happened. The supply of new cars sitting on dealer lots right now is approaching about 3 million units, which is what we used to see pre-pandemic. So there are plenty of cars out there, and incentives are back on new cars. So yes, this is a good time to buy a car.
So if you're thinking about that, if you're thinking about that, okay, for a Christmas present, I'm really going to go crazy. This would be a good time to do it.
Yeah, and we're starting to see those ads that we used to see for full size pickups with huge numbers in them, $5,000, $10,000. So yeah, if you wanted to buy a big pickup, it seems like the inventory is pretty solid right now.
Hmm.
Speaking of ads, one of my favorite ads is the new Ford Bronco,
yes.
where they talk about you want to go someplace where you don't have cell phone service, and it's a wonderful ad campaign.
It's a beautiful shot wherever they happen to be driving. I mean, it's one of those where you got the remote in your hand, but you stop, and you actually watch it, which is what they want you to do.
Yeah, Bronco's got a little bit of momentum behind it. They have eaten away into Wrangler sales, and in part because they were slightly more reasonably priced, and they're also a little bit roomier, too. And it used to seem like the Wrangler was unassailable, but Ford is selling a lot of Broncos.
Were you in a Bronco recently, road testing it?
Not recently, but I did drive one this year. Mm-hmm. I rather like the Bronco, actually.
What was the thing that your cohort, our friend Jill Simonillo, just went on some real off-road crazy adventure?
That was the Ram 1500 RHO. And no one knows what RHO stands for, but this vehicle replaces the Ram 1500 TRX, which was a very, very well-equipped vehicle for off-road running, especially like desert running. You drive very fast over unpleasant surfaces. A lot of fun to do if you ever get the chance to do it. The RHO is the replacement for that vehicle, largely because Ram has gotten away from V8 engines. So this is now powered by an inline six. It's turbocharged, a lot of power, 540 horsepower. But it costs less than that vehicle, so it'll be more accessible. And we'll see more of these on the road. They're pretty great looking.
The voice in my ear tells me RHO stands for Ram High Output.
That's what some people are guessing, but that is not officially the Ram take.
Oh, mysterious, huh?
But that's what we all believe. We believe that that's what it stands for.
Well, if you choose to believe that.
Yeah, that's, All right, we've got a minute for you to tell everybody what did you cover in your podcast? How can people find that award-winning podcast? What else you want to tell them?
You know what's coming up next week? The podcast drops Tuesday. We're talking to our old friends at Collectible Automobile Magazine.
Oh, good. So, good.
Yeah, we haven't checked in with them a long time. Don Sicora is the new editor-in-chief there. He's been our guest before, but he knows a lot about old cars, so that'll be a great conversation.
Please tell him we want to talk to him sometime. Which reminds me, how is our friend Frank Pyler, who is the publisher of Collectible Automobile, doing?
I chatted with Frank a few weeks ago, and he was in very good spirits, and he was doing well, and he and I agreed to do lunch. We'll see if we make that happen. But Frank is well. Thank you.
Well, we've talked about doing lunch with you for, what, a year and a half now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, eventually we'll do that. Well, thank you so much for your time. As always, Tom, we will get together again. Now, next week is a short show, so it kind of throws your schedule off. So we won't get together with Tom again until the 30th of November.
Right.
So toward the end. Yeah, after
good
Thanksgiving.
Good to know.
Yeah. Well, thanks a million, and have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Tom.
Sometimes at this time in the morning, we talk about sports, a little sports between the sheets, and we're going to talk about some Bears. But we wanted to let you hear something. We played, it was about a week or so ago, mm-hmm. that we played the
Hail Mary.
The Hail Mary song. And
by the superfan, Dave Swirsky.
Yeah. And Dave Swirsky has a new song this week. Mm-hmm. So we thought we'd let you hear a little bit of it right now.
The Bears flopped, hope drained, the fans in pain was pumped. Thought Luce was our guy. I'm pretty pissed I fell under his spell. That beard looked too great to deny. But these last two losses, they've made me not okay with Waldron's offense. We're screwed. No win since the bye. Hope is running dry. Polls, it's now up to you. It's maybe time to fire them all. Bad coaching, we can't rise above. Got all these weapons, but each drive it stalls. Otis coaching staff is wrecking me. And what if Poles does make that call? Same old vicious cycle has begun. Gache really used to love football. But the Bears this year are wrecking me. The pain is getting to me. The Bears.
That is giving credit where it's due. That's Dave Swirsky, the Bears fans. The fans are in pain, and Dave Swirsky has a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Gabe, what do you think? Do you agree with that song?
You know, I totally understand why he would feel that way.
You do now.
And, you know, when we take a look at, you know, the game later today, mm-hmm.
I'm afraid to look.
Yeah, you know, I understand the Patriots are rebuilding, and you know they're struggling. You know,
and they're only 2-7, right?
But here's the problem: the Bears, their offensive line is going to be another patchwork in progress this week because you have Kieran Amagaji, Darnell Wright, and Braxton Jones all out. Oh. Ryan Bates was elevated he was activated off of injured reserve, so we'll finally get to see him take the field. But they're going to be mixing and matching on that offensive line again because of all the injuries. And, of course, Andrew Billings, the defensive tackle, who's been the biggest contributor as far as run defense goes for the Bears, he had surgery to fix a torn pectoral muscle. Most likely he's out for the year.
Ooh.
He was put on injured reserve. And not to mention Jaquan Brisker, I believe, is still out as well because he's still dealing with that concussion he suffered earlier in the season.
Isn't one of the problems with looking at the game this Sunday, A, that you're looking at the Bears, B, that whatever happens, win, lose, draw, whatever, it won't really tell you a lot about where the Bears are going for the rest of the season?
Not just that, but you got to remember, after this Patriots game, it's like the toughest part of the schedule.
Yes, they've got the Packers next week, right?
Yeah. All six division opponents still lie ahead, and they're also playing, I believe they're also playing San Francisco as well. So a win would certainly be a good pick-me-up heading into that stretch. And, you know, the Bears aren't completely out of the playoff hunt, but if they don't pick up a couple wins here, it's going to look even more bleak. Again, I said I wasn't expecting this team to be a playoff team. They're still working through some growing pains. Obviously, you know, coaching staff, you know, again, could be better. And, you know, the Bears had, in history, they've never fired a coach midseason, any coach, head coach, assistant coach, they've never done it. Whereas you've already seen coaches already in the NFL be let go from their jobs during the course of the season. So, you know, we'll just have to see. Like I said, again, getting a win would be important, you know, heading into next week and everything that comes after that, because it's going to be the hardest stretch of their schedule. And, you know, it's and I remember at the beginning of the year, everybody was like, oh, the Bears are going to be 7-2 heading into those division games.
Yep.
Yeah, I told everybody, put the brakes on that, and now we can see why. Of course, where the future lies for this team, you know, that all depends on how they finish at the end of the year. I mean, unless the Bears, you know, make something significant happen over these next few weeks, I honestly don't see how you keep Matt Eberflus. He's a good defensive coordinator. He hasn't proven himself to be a good head coach. And then you got to navigate that. Not to mention, you need, you know, again, not sure what's not clicking with the offense, but you're going to have to find an offensive coordinator that can not only call effective plays to get this team moving down the field, but also that can help with the development of Caleb Williams. So, again, how that all plays out will depend over these next few weeks starting today.
And they're going to be at home today. A temperature's supposed to be like 60 degrees. I mean, it's going to be a great November day to be out at a game.
But it's also going to be windy and it might rain as well. So that'll cool things down just a little bit. So if you're heading to the game today, make sure, take an umbrella just in case, and make sure you have at least a sweater or something. Because those winds are going to make it feel colder than it actually will be.
Tuning in to Happen OB post-game. If the Bears lose, I hope they have medical personnel standing by. Because it has just been funny. But sad at the same time.
And you know what's fun, too, is to watch the video of them.
Yes.
Especially when OB's yelling at everybody.
Oh, OB's off the charts.
The veins in his neck are, like, throbbing. And I'm like, oh, come on. But you know what? They make really good points.
I fear one day we're going to need the bleep machine for OB.
Yes.
I think you're right.
I thought last week, because they were on so late, because it was after all of the other sport things, it was like 10:30 at night. I thought, well, now he can let loose. He can cut loose. But I got so nervous listening. I had to tune away because I thought, he's going to blow a gasket. And it's understandable. He's very frustrated.
How dare you? How dare you?
We woke him up.
How dare you?
But not just because it's on this radio station, but that is one of the best sports shows ever.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, what are you? Are you prepared to go for a score? Give us a score.
I'm going to give you a score, and I might even be taking a little leap of faith here, but I'm going to pick Bears 17, Patriots 14.
Mm.
Yeah, it's expecting to be a low scoring game because, again, both teams not very good on offense. Although the Patriots now have their rookie quarterback, Drake May. He's been starting over the last few weeks or so. Wasn't starting at the beginning of the season. Now he's the starter, but he's going through more growing pains than Caleb Williams has. And again, the Patriots are rebuilding. They won't admit that they're rebuilding, mm-hmm. but they are rebuilding. Again, no more Bill Belichick, no more Tom Brady, no more Super Bowls. So they're starting from scratch. So again, this is a good opportunity for the Bears to get a win, you know, break that losing streak and try to gain some kind of momentum heading into the remainder of the season. But it's certainly going to be a low-scoring affair. It might even be an ugly game to watch at times, but yeah. I'm going to go Bears 17, go 14.
Okay. Fingers crossed. I'll be texting you during that game. Okay, Gabe?
So, speaking of Tom Brady,
yeah,
can I, just for a second, I want to read you something.
Mm-hmm.
This popped up in my Facebook feed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just going to read this the way it popped up in my feed, okay? Please stop complaining about him and just listen. I get it. You hated him 10 years ago, 4 years ago, and you still hate him now. I've seen a lot of hate thrown his way. This guy is a consistent winner and an overachiever. Call it jealousy or envy. Some people just can't handle how successful he is and how much money he has. Yes, there have been some scandals, some lies, and maybe a few times he's twisted the truth to make himself look better. But he's out there every day, proving his haters wrong, time after time. You may not have wanted him in this job, but there's nothing you or I can do about it. I know it might get worse over the next several weeks, but like him or not, Tom Brady is doing a great job as a broadcaster.
That was a great build-up.
It really was.
It was really well-written.
Because you didn't think it was going in that direction at all.
Mm-mm.
But it was, it did.
Yep.
And okay, on that note, we're going to take a break.
Say goodbye, and I don't know what it all means, but since I survived, I realized wherever you go, that's where I'll follow. Nobody's promised tomorrow.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars.
Mm-hmm. And that is Die With a Smile, a terrific video.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it because they've gone all retro. Like, I think they say it's a 70s look. It's really more like a 60s look,
yeah.
A postmodern look. Anyway, nominated for a Grammy. I don't think it's got a chance because in that category for Song of the Year, you've got your Beyonce,
yeah,
and Taylor Swift, and Billie Eilish, and Kendrick Lamar and Chapel Roan. I mean, it's a really, really competitive category. Sabrina Carpenter, Shaboozy. It looks like Beyonce leads all 2025 Grammy nominees with 11 nods. Charlie XCX, Billie Eilish, and Kendrick Lamar, and Post Malone. This is the year of Posty, the year of Post Malone.
Yeah.
Seven nominations. And
Who is Post Malone doing the duet with on the CMA show that's going to be coming up this coming Wednesday? There's going to be a special performance.
Lainey Wilson.
No, I thought it was.
I
know he's done things with Lainey Wilson, but I think he's doing a duet with another male performer. I believe.
Oh well, Jelly Roll. He and Jelly Roll have been. He's got like a half dozen. He did a tune with Taylor Swift. As I say, it's like the year of Post Malone. I started following him on Facebook. I think he's a good singer. I think he's found his niche in country music.
Oh, I think you're right.
I mean, he's beloved now. I mean, I love the comments, people saying, I know he looks crazy with all those tattoos and he's dancing like a wild man.
Yep.
Who has no rhythm whatsoever, but you gotta love the guy. And he's really, really good with the kids in the audience, too.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that he cannot put down a cigarette. He just smokes like a chimney. So he's got these kids up there and he's like smoking in their face. And I'm like, drop the cigarette for 5 minutes, for heaven's sakes. But anyway, it's been a big year for him. So I suspect that he's gonna pop up.
Julian, you want to jump in?
Chris Stapleton.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. That's right. He and Chris Stapleton. Stapleton is nominated for a Grammy. The Beatles are nominated for a Grammy this year for song, for the Here and Now.
Oh, yeah.
Which we forget. That was like last November. Because I think we were in Florida when had Wally Pedraja on to talk about.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Carter nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah.
He already has, I think, 4 Grammys. And if he wins this one at 100, he will be the oldest Grammy winner ever.
I could be wrong, but I think the previous oldest Grammy winner was also a politician. I believe it was Senator Edward Dirksen.
No, the oldest one standing now is Pinetop Perkins.
Is it Pinetop?
Yeah, Pinetop is the oldest, and he was in his 90s. But the senator did win a Grammy. You're absolutely right.
Had a hit record back in the 60s?
Had to be.
Something like that.
What was the title? I've just drawn a
blank. It was a recitation, and I can't think of what it was, but it actually made the top 40 playlists of that time.
Back when top 40 would give you everything from an instrumental to some heavy rock to the senator talking. Yeah.
I was also pleased to see that our friend Sue Foley, who was on with us last week, she got a Grammy nomination, too.
Yeah, and we would have called her, but she is at the top
of the
world.
She just posted, and one of the things I hate about Facebook, and there are many things I hate about Facebook, if you see something in Facebook stories, you can't always go back and find it. And Sue posted a video. She's doing a dog sled thing up in Alaska, and she told us she was going to, and she posted some videos of that yesterday, and it was fascinating to see.
I could never see it, though, because when you called me into the computer to look at it, it had gone away. So I'm back to the Beatles for a moment. Now and Then is nominated Record of the Year. Giles Martin and Paul McCartney as producers of Now and Then. And Texas Hold'em, Beyonce, that's also nominated in that category of Record of the Year. Birds of a Feather, Billie Eilish. And I think it's funny because oftentimes when we've seen Billie Eilish, I say, why don't they credit her brother? Like when she was on Saturday Night Live, they never said, and Phineas. And it was just the two of them on stage. And then till they...
And he's such an integral part of what she does.
And I think it's funny, in the Grammy nominations, wherever his name is, it's all in capital letters. It's Billie Eilish and Phineas.
And that's
all capital letters.
That's just kind of his logo.
I know. And he deserves the attention, obviously. And also in this category of Record of the Year, Kendrick Lamar, Chapel Roan, Fortnite, Taylor Swift featuring Post Malone, that particular cut, Record of the Year. Then there's Album of the Year. Funny thing was, as I was going through the list of songs, I found myself gravitating toward the country category. I was like, oh, that's a tough category. Let me quickly roll through some of these because there's so many categories. Global Music, Rock Performance, Grammy Award for Best Dance Music, Country Solo Performance, you got Jelly Roll, I'm Not Okay, It Takes a Woman, Chris Stapleton, Oh My Lord, what a good song. A Bar Song, Tipsy by Shaboozy. I'm sorry. It's just, I love to say the name Shaboozy. 16 Carriages by Beyonce and The Architect by Kacey Musgraves. So that's an interesting category. Very interesting category.
There's a lot going on in country music right now that I don't like, but there's a lot going on that I do like. There's some really interesting creative things that are happening in country music right now.
Country duo, real quick, I'll roll through this. Beyonce and Miley Cyrus. I am not familiar with this cut. Beyonce with Miley Cyrus. Most Wanted. Break Mine by the Brothers Osborne. Bigger Houses, Dan and Shay. I Had Some Help, Post Malone with Morgan Wallen. And Cowboys Cry 2, Noah Kahan and Kelsey Ballerini. Again, a good category.
And I think that show's going to be, is it this coming Wednesday? I think it's on CBS.
Again, right?
What isn't on CBS?
Right. I didn't get that far in my list. I was just busy looking at all of the different lists of...
And Alligator Records, Chicago's own Alligator Records, has a number of performers that are Grammy nominated.
We should get Bruce Iglauer back in here because we had a wonderful night with him.
The man who started Alligator Records.
Man, we had him on for over 2 hours and went through the whole history.
That was right after he came out with his book.
Yeah, and
which, if you haven't read it, is a wonderful book.
It is, and he's just a really cool, unassuming kind of guy that you will run into if you happen to be at Space, and there's a blues performer on Alligator Records there, and he's just hanging out and enjoying the music. We're going to take a break. We're in the final stretch here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. At Sue Foley, who was our guest last week, and that's one of the songs that she is nominated for. That is on her Grammy-nominated album,
First
One
Time
Guitar Woman.
Very first time nominee, and she's just tickled, as she should be. It's a great album.
If you want to see some really cool videos of Sue, you can do a search for Sue Foley Evanston Space, and there are several videos from her performance last Sunday. Sadly, we weren't able to get there, but looking at the videos, we missed a great show.
She did
acoustic, she did electric. It was just wonderful stuff. But I'm glad to see her album nominated.
Yeah. The Grammy television show on CBS will be February 2nd of next year.
So. And the show we're talking about that is going to be on next Wednesday is the CMAs CBS. By the way,
they're ruling.
Speaking of albums, I've made a decision because I have this album in the back of my head that I've been working on and wasn't sure what I would be using for an album cover picture. I now know what the album cover picture will be.
Really?
If you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, take a look at the picture Johnny just posted within the past few minutes of the patent leather streets that we're seeing from our 18th floor vantage point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's rained just enough where the streets have that patent leather look to them, and I think that is...
You get the reflection of the street lights.
Yeah, that would be a wonderful album cover, and...
And the streets are almost empty, too.
Yeah. So if I can get your permission to use it...
Well, let's see. I have a list of things. We could work something out, I'm sure.
By the way, we should mention that next week... We ain't going to be here till about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is, what is it next week?
It's a late hockey game.
Oh, it's the Blackhawks at Vancouver next week. So we will be starting around
12:30.
Midnight 30 next week. So an hour and a half show. And honestly, we probably won't have any guests. We're just going to hang out with you kids for about an hour and a half and...
Gosh, I don't know. Do we have anything to talk about for an hour and a half?
I don't know.
We'll walk out of here tonight and go, dang, we didn't do this and we didn't do that. And we come in here with a stack of stuff to talk about. Back to our pictures on Facebook. I posted pictures en route to work tonight, as I do every Saturday night. And a listener commented on the Wrigley Building picture and says, what is it being used for today? And honestly... Since we're not across the street in the Tribune Tower like we were for almost 30 years, I don't know. I'm assuming that
it's still an office
building.
Yeah.
So I did look it up to find out what is new in the Wrigley Building. And apparently, the new owners made the building more attractive to businesses. They added a Walgreens, and I'm not sure that Walgreens is still there. For some reason, that's the Walgreens that our overnight engineer, Aubrey Mumpower, used to do his grocery shopping there.
Yeah.
He would come walking back across the street after he'd taken his lunch break, and he would have shopping bags of food. He would do his grocery shopping there. And they claimed that there was a coffee shop there, and I don't remember that either. A fitness center and a nursing room for mothers.
Hmm.
I didn't know any of that, but that's in the latest post on the Wrigley Building, what's going on there. And yes, the building itself was renovated to the point that it was rented out for various businesses.
There is a picture that popped up on Facebook this past week, and I'm trying to think what year it was from, but it was shortly after the turn of the previous century.
Yes.
And it was a black and white photo of North Michigan Avenue, and the only... just about the only building there, certainly the only thing resembling a high-rise, was the Wrigley Building. This was pre-Tribune Tower. It was a really interesting picture.
Well, that would have been right around 1920.
Okay.
And if you'd looked at the comments under that, and there were hundreds of comments, you would see my picture, one of my Wrigley Building pictures, where I said, this is what it looks like October of 2024, because people from all around the world are accessing that page, because it's Chicago history page. It's a great page, because they post some pictures that are just wonderful, that unless you go to a museum or you actively seek out these pictures, you won't find them. But whoever's putting the page together is doing a really great job, and they seem to like the fact that I put up this, because it's a solo picture of the Wrigley Building seen from this vantage point, and I just love it. To me, it looks like a sepia postcard. It does not look like it's in the 21st century. It really looks like it could be from 1921.
This is a great vantage point, and you get some great pictures.
And I'm working around the reflections here. You know, our engineer overnight tonight is Adam Phillips, and Adam was doing the afternoon show the other day, and he took some jaw-dropping pictures.
Gorgeous pictures.
And as I said to him, you're lucky. You don't have to deal with the reflections of all the monitors and things, because sometimes I'm down on my knees trying to work around the reflections of all this glass that's around us, because I just want to capture all of it. Just grab it and put the pictures up. So
Again, next week, we don't start till 12:30.
Right.
Just an hour and a half show. Then the week after that will be a full show, and we will have the Empty Pockets.
We will have the Empty Pockets, and we will have...
Patrick Crisman will be joining us.
And we will have the end of the Magnificent Mile Lights Festival.
Assuming that we can make it through the traffic to get here to do that show.
I was telling Julian earlier, I've already booked our parking space, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, if people come in and they're willing to pay $70 to park, the garage lets you come in, and then we come wandering in with our $12 that we paid a month or so ago. And they're like, well, we're all booked up here. So, but because the parade itself is at 6 o'clock, and that'll be televised, and that's really cool. And then we're supposed to have fireworks like right around 8 o'clock, and we're told those fireworks are right here on the river, right?
And that's what we want to be here for, to see the fire. And if we're able to do that, we'll do some video of the fireworks.
And I was wondering why we missed it last year, and that's because we were still in Florida.
You're right, because normally we're down in Florida from roughly a week or two before Halloween until the week before Thanksgiving.
Right.
But this year, because of Johnny's back problem, we came back early, and we're not going back down to Florida until probably...
late January.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, well, how come we missed the festival last year? And that's how come we missed it.
Yeah. If you don't want to miss being our last caller, you might want to try calling right now, because we're getting very close. I hear the Zamboni in the background, and the lights are flickering.
Wanted to know if it was warmed up. They also want to know what we've got for supper when we get home tonight. My vegetable soup sounded great last week, and it was great.
Oh, it was delicious.
It was really yummy.
Tonight we're leaning toward ham and mac and cheese, I think.
We're having a full meal tonight. I'm hungry. I'm about ready to start eating this microphone.
Yep.
Because, as I said at the start of the show, we had a bowl of cream of rice and a piece of toast.
And it was delicious.
At 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And, yeah, I'm ready to go home, and I think we're going to have us a little ham dinner.
Okay. Works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like to be our last caller, and you don't have to have anything really pithy to say.
No.
Just to be able to, kind of make a fist. And
be able to hold your phone, string a couple words together, stop by and say hi, tell us what your Sunday's going to be like.
And why you're up at this hour in the morning, 312-981-7200, and you'll get some goodies from the prize list.
A real quick answer to a question, how's my back doing? Tonight, not so good.
Yeah, tonight has not been good. It's been good the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
But tonight it decided to rear its rear.
And no, it's my back, not my rear. I've been very lucky. And as many of you people who are so wonderful to inquire, how are you doing? They were wondering how I was able to decorate because your back was so bad. And if it comes to decorating, I will power through it. But I was fortunate enough, I was finally able to find a medication that was helping.
In fact, we need to post on the Steve and Johnny page some of the fall pictures.
Oh, we should, I'll do that tonight. I'll put up the pictures of fall decorating, because somebody said, what do you do between Halloween and Christmas? Oh, please. There's so many things that one can do when decorating.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Really? So I will post those pictures a little later on.
Last call. 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And we'll get to our last caller in just a couple minutes.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
All right, people. It's time to go home.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
You can't stay here and you can't hear the rest of the song.
Which is the closing song by Red Peters. Mm-hmm. If you're wondering who that is, if you've never heard that song before, where have you been?
We're going to get that man on the radio before the end of the year, because it's been a year and a half. Well, we're coming up on 2 years in January that we've been playing that song, and I just know every Monday he wonders, why in the heck do I have all these views?
Julian, that's your assignment. We need to get Red Peters on the show. And if you want to hear the rest of that song, go to YouTube, look at, although YouTube has been acting funky tonight. Julian, were you able to solve your YouTube problems?
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
That's a man that's not happy about it either.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Well,
let me quickly say that during that commercial break, I was able to post the fall tree. The tree that appears between Halloween and Christmas. And if we were having Thanksgiving dinner at the house, I would throw a couple of pilgrims and ears of Indian corn on the tree.
But we're going out to my brother Lee's house for Thanksgiving.
It is just the autumn tree.
So go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you will see the... the autumn tree and several pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the if you're scrolling through the pictures,
it would be number three.
Four. The fourth picture, and look underneath the table
on the credenza
to the right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little picture in a frame, and Bob Kessler took that.
That's about 25 years old. Kessler was going through his photography phase, and he's truly a newsman. Bob Kessler is the definition of a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
And yes, he went through his photography phase. And remember, he was walking Western Avenue and photographing Western Avenue. And it was some project that he was doing to document Western Avenue in Chicago.
I think there was it a book or a website or what? Western Avenue from the north to the south.
It was
mostly black and white pictures, I believe.
Yeah. So that's a picture that he gave me as a gift a few years ago, as I say, decades ago. And it's nestled there in my display. All right. I get to choose the number tonight.
Sure,
and
why not?
I'm going with this number. And
that number would be number two, and that would be Lynn. And Lynn, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Woodstock, Illinois.
All right. We know Woodstock well. We love the Woodstock High School Choir for years.
And the haunted Woodstock Theater.
The Opera House.
Opera House.
Yeah.
So,
yes, I originally was from Hebron.
Oh, we know Hebron too. Yeah,
state basketball championship in '52.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, why are you up at this hour of the night, Lynn?
Listen to you.
good answer, smart man. Now, are you going to turn in so you can get up and watch the Bears game on Sunday? What's your plan for the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, I'll probably watch the Bears. Packers are off this week. Otherwise, I'd be watching the Packers.
Really?
You're a Packers fan?
Well, yeah, I was close. It was from Hebron. That's right on the state line.
Yeah.
Sure.
And plus, you'd like to see a team that's doing well, right?
Yes.
Yes.
When you're not listening to us or watching the Packers, what do you find yourself doing most often?
Well, I've got a lot of children. I got 5 children of my own, 10 grandkids.
Wow.
16 great-grandkids.
Wow.
Whoa.
Good for you.
My daughter and I just came back from St. Louis. We went down to watch that Neil Diamond play.
Oh, you did? You went to St. Louis for it?
What did you think of it?
St. Louis for it, yes.
What did you think of the play?
It was great. And I got to see my oldest grandson's down there, and a great-grandson, and granddaughter-in-law, so...
Well, that's a fun trip. Yeah, and you drove there?
We drove down, yes.
Mm-hmm. But
unfortunately, I lost my wife here. I was married 68 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so sorry.
60,
7 years ago, Halloween night. So.
68 years?
Yep, and 2 years in high school.
Oh, God bless you. That's wonderful.
Was it love at first sight?
Well, I would. Well, she had a. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the fact that it makes you laugh. That's
my wife and I listened to you for a long time. We listened to Spike and Uncle Bobby.
Sure.
Years ago. Yeah.
So, like us, you grew up with us on the radio, right?
We sure did. Yeah.
That is really cool, though. I it just blows me away, 68 years. I mean, congratulations.
That's wonderful.
It was, yeah, truly. And you got a mess of kids. So how do you deal with Christmas? Do you just say, we got too many kids? And
They come. A lot of them come to the house.
Oh, nice.
I have it here at my house. Yeah.
Awesome. Good. Yeah.
So how big is your dining room table with all those people?
Well, years ago we put an addition on, I wanted a two-car garage. I didn't have a garage when I raised the kids.
Uh-huh.
After they left, I put an addition on. And, yeah.
I don't blame you.
So I got a big living room. We put
that's fine.
Living room, everything together.
That's what Christmas is all about.
Yeah.
And we're very fortunate this year. The Christmans are coming from California for Christmas. So we're going to have an 8-year-old with us, and that's going to be a lot of fun, too.
So,
well,
yep, it's great. Otherwise, I would care to be around if I didn't have my kids.
Sure.
My wife did a good job raising them.
Yeah. Oh, well, God bless you.
I have a question for you. Do you still have a CD player?
Yes, I do.
Do you have one of our Life After Dark CDs?
I do not.
Oh, well, good.
You do now.
We'll send you one of those.
And this is a CD that we put out back in 2000, and it was live performances that were recorded in our studio by people like Diane and Steve, who you heard on with us tonight. We'll make sure that a copy is headed your way, and you will also get...
You're going to get a WGN Radio T-shirt, and we will be proud to see you wearing that T-shirt with that mess
of
kids. In fact,
send us an email picture of
that. Yeah. And thank you, Lynn, so much for listening through the years and spending Saturday night with us. We appreciate it.
So hold on for a couple seconds. And Julian just grabbed a chocolate chip cookie, and he's wandering back in, and he's going to get all of your... We need to get a video of Julian with that.
I said, you know, we were practicing... We started out the show tonight practicing breathing properly.
Yeah.
And he was standing up breathing, and you're supposed to breathe in, but your belly's supposed to go out.
You need to take a picture of you.
I'm trying to fill him up with chocolate chip cookies so he has a damn belly. Work on that.
I think it's working.
Okay, good.
Well, again, we remind you that next week we don't... fall into the studio till 12:30. Just going to be an hour and a half show. No guests, just us and you, and we'll do whatever it is we do. The week after that, Patrick Crispin will join us.
And the
Empty,
Empty Pockets
will be in the studio with us.
Because they're kicking off. Well, actually, they've had one stop on their Missile Tune tour. But when they're in here with us, they're going to kick off their Midwest Missile Tune tour. And then we can play Christmas music, too, because we'll be closer to Thanksgiving.
Works.
Yeah.
That works.
I love it.
So if you have anything you want to get to us, just email us at emailus@stephenjohnny.com. And
check out our pictures on our Facebook page. Follow us on our blog if you don't like Facebook. And we've heard from a number of listeners who say, thank you, because I don't do Facebook. It's nice to be able to see the pictures.
In fact, we would like to get everybody over to our blog. It's stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. So thank you for hanging out with us. Thanks to Steve and Diane. Thanks to Julian and to Adam and Ron
and Gabe and all the ships at sea, which includes all of you. We had 15 states that checked in tonight that they were listening, and we do appreciate that.
We'll talk to you next week. Stay safe.